about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Attention, everyone. This is an emergency broadcast. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear coming from your radio is not a mistake.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
But Denny scores a basket even though he's not a wolf anymore.
We're here with Tracy Jordan, who just recounted, by the way, the entire plot of the movie Teen Wolf. What? Oh, hold on, Tracy. My producers are telling me there is breaking news.
How old are you?
7.
What do you think of No Cussing Week?
Bullshit, man.
I'm completely single. I'm very intelligent. I'm great in bed. I make great money. Believe it or not, I'm a complete catch. There's nothing wrong with me. Matter of fact, I'm one of the few men in the city that has nothing wrong with him.
Expand on that. And now.
I take care of problems with poop and farting.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday morning, the 21st of October.
Of what?
Of what? How would you
of
do
what?
That?
What, are you what is wrong that? With you?
Wow.
Are you new?
I was happy with it, too.
Are you new?
No.
Should I start over?
Yes.
Yes.
Does Bean start his part first or just
no. Start over? No. Start over with birth, because you've been screwing up, dude.
Start over with the earth cooling.
Unbelievable.
Good Lord,
Jesus
Kevin.
Christ, what a terrible start.
It's Monday morning, the 21st of Rocktober.
It didn't feel as
good. Are we a morning show or what? It's Rocktober. We know this.
I know.
Did you say the 25th at first, by the way?
No, I said 21st.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
How dare you? Hey, I make plenty of mistakes without you making them up.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Calm down, Tone Loke.
I'm just, let's do it. I do have a little Tone Loke in the voice today.
You do.
You finally sound like you've always wanted.
Working all week, 9 to 5, for my money. How does that go? Is that how
it
goes?
I mean, you nailed it.
I mean, ish? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Guys, I'm sick and I don't like it.
What?
Oh, Bean.
I'm telling you, it's for the birds.
You know what? It's a perfect time, though. He's got like a couple weeks left. This is the time in the movie where he would cough into a handkerchief and there would be blood.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean? And then he would pull it away and he'd be like, oh, he's dying.
Right.
You
he
know.
Doesn't tell anyone yet. It's his own secret because he's like, oh, no, this is worrying.
Yeah.
And why do they always then put that handkerchief back in the pocket?
I don't know.
Throw
it's
it away.
Disgusting.
Because they're going to need it again for the next time they cough up blood.
But now you've got a big, like, blood gunk thing.
Yeah, but the alternative to that is coughing in blood into your hand.
This isn't the point. The point is Bean is dying.
I am dying, yes.
My bad.
He's leaving.
I thought you guys were joking with the RIP Bean thing. I didn't realize you were cursing me, and I'm actually dying.
Oh, we weren't cursing. We're just calling it.
Yeah.
We're just predicting it.
We hear things.
You know, you hear about those people who work a long, happy life, and then they retire, and then they drop dead like 2 days later?
Yeah, you're
going to be one of those guys.
You know who I think you're going to be? I think you're going to be the cop who has one last day with his partner.
Yeah.
And then on that last day, he gets shot down. That's what you are, last day death.
Why are you so happy saying this? You're like, and then?
It's good fanfic for Kevin and Bean, to be honest.
That's,
Bean's last day dies.
I'm only throwing this out there, and I think it's too late to change the trajectory of the Titanic here, but should I be staying?
I mean,
am I making a mistake in leaving?
I mean, no.
Is this my body telling me?
Wow, Kevin, real quick.
Is this my body telling me you made a terrible mistake announcing you were leaving the show, is what I'm asking.
I mean, here's the thing about your body getting sick.
Okay.
It happens, and there's
But not to me.
It does, though.
It hasn't for decades.
Yeah, okay.
Decades.
Bean, you've got a huge move coming up. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of travel coming up, which you get really anxious about anyway.
Very much so, yes.
You've got to sell, 7, 8 houses?
Yeah, 9 now.
Right.
They bought another one just to sell
did
it.
Did they just to sell it?
Weekend.
They're like, I'll show
investment.
You. You've got so much happening that it's your body's way of saying, hey, take a minute and slow down.
You have often said my body is revolting, but this time I think you mean it, Allie.
I really do.
Oh, I usually say your body is a wonderland, but yeah. Similar.
I mean, do we even file it or murder
file
him?
File it. I mean, can we do both?
Sure.
Okay.
Guys, we have a very big show today, and I promise the voice will work its way out as we go deeper into it. But I just want to start with a mention, because I didn't know if we...
Gross.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just saying, the voice will work its way out as I use it more. I just want to say, can we talk about Mike Posner for a second?
Yes, please.
3,000 miles walking across the United States. Now, Mike Posner is an artist that we played here on K-Rock, Cooler Than Me. I think he's had a couple of other songs that we've had some success with here playing on K-Rock. Super nice guy, Jensen. You know my poster at all?
I've met him. Very sweet.
Seems like a nice guy, right? Mm-hmm. Seems like just a sweet soul. And I don't fully understand, and I guess this is my point. Look. It's very possible that this was a personal journey. This is something that Mike Posner did to prove to himself that he could do it. Some sort of time for him to be in nature and think about things, and maybe he is enormously satisfied. But I feel like if you're walking 3,000 miles, 6 months across America, mm-hmm. I feel like maybe you should accomplish something more than just go out for a stroll. Like, what is the result of this walk across the country?
He recorded music along the way, mm-hmm. and he put out like a record last week or 2 weeks ago with some of those songs. And I think
it was kind of a mixtape that he had been listening to, though.
Yeah, and also
for inspiration, right?
But recording in every like he'd stop and then play for fans, and they'd record those too,
uh-huh.
And write music along the way. Which I don't know if he's released anything really new yet in that way, but. It was more of like a thing. I mean, the kid's
like
been
a personal
through,
journey.
Yeah, he was like a pop star at first, and then he started to look like a mountain man, and then he released that Avicii song. I mean, he's went through a bunch of stuff.
But what is the point of it?
I don't think there's much.
Kevin, what's the point of walking 3,000 miles across
you
country?
You forgot the biggest detail.
I mean, maybe it's
he
just
got bit by a rattlesnake.
He got bit by a rattlesnake.
Yeah. And run over by a car like four times.
And
it's
almost
really
died. Yeah.
A lot of people do stuff like that just for the challenge of it. Why do you climb rocks? Why do you run a marathon?
Those are all questions I actually ask.
Okay. Yes.
I don't know the answers.
I felt like there was a story behind it, why he did it. Like his father had become sick or
well, his
possibly
dad died.
Passed away.
His father died and his friend Avicii died as well. And he said this is something he'd been wanting to do for years. But I guess I just am not satisfied with he did it because he wanted to.
Okay. I see. I wanted more payoff for it.
Well,
it doesn't matter what he wanted.
I feel like you should have accomplished more than just, okay, I walked across country. If you're walking across country, couldn't he have raised a $500,000 for children's cancer charity?
He had to have done something in that.
Yeah,
you know
he
what
was
I mean?
Putting out different songs for every state.
But he's saying, did the money go to something?
Was there money? I don't even know that there was money.
Yeah, maybe. Look, I'm not
saying,
why
do you hate the fact that he walked?
I don't hate. Look, you're not required to raise money every time you walk. I'm not suggesting he's a bad guy because he didn't. I just am. It leaves this reviewer cold that I don't feel like there's a payoff at the end of it beyond the fact that we see him standing on the beach at Santa Monica.
Well, according to his website, the journey had a three-part mission.
Okay.
One, enjoy my life and help others enjoy theirs.
Done.
Right.
Two, be as authentic to other people as possible. And three...
Don't need to walk across America to do that?
Nope, sure don't.
Help others to experience transcendence. What? Okay, he's just a weird hippie.
He's a nut job, right?
I mean, maybe he just wanted to clear his head, right?
He's a nut job who walked across America.
I did find a GoFundMe where he raised $50,000 of a $100,000 goal, so he did not make his goal there.
What does a guy have to do to make his goal?
But he did want you to know.
America.
He did want you to know I'm walking across America for myself, but I am walking across Arizona for Ronnie, who was one of his best friends growing up.
He did release a 16-track mixtape called Keep Going.
Right.
It has Wiz Khalifa and Logic and Ty
Dolla
Sign.
Well, I mentioned that. That's one of the things he listened to for inspiration along the way. But big deal, he could have released a mixtape from his apartment in Brooklyn.
I have a mixtape
just to clean my house.
And yeah. We all know just, you know, releasing music in 2019 is you make a ton of money.
Yeah.
Ton of work.
Ton of
work. I guess what I'm saying is why don't you turn around and walk back and do it right this time, Mike Posner?
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Mike Posner canceled.
He did. We do want him on the show to talk about this. He did sell all his belongings.
Death Bean is really rude.
He's dying. He's on his way out. He did sell all his belongings and donate that money to charity.
All of his belongings?
Yes.
Wow.
Closet full of clothes.
Well, I noticed he didn't have any clothes on the walk.
Yeah.
He's wearing shorts.
Jensen just told you that he was doing it and gave the money to charity, and you can come down on him hard.
Okay. All right. I'll allow it. Mm. Just saying, it leaves.
I'm sure
this,
he's relieved.
Leaves this reviewer cold. That's all I'm saying. But good job, Mike. Let's have Muggs do it and have Muggs do it right.
I like it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Why do you keep rewarding failure?
Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day. We have your tickets in the 6 o'clock hour. There's also a basketball game tomorrow night where the two local teams are kicking things off by playing each other.
Trying to shoot up.
Which local teams are you talking about?
Yeah, which ones?
Two.
I think you could have said it.
I don't know if I could have said it. So that's
how about the basketball game,
right? Right. Uh-huh. And we have a suite, and we're going, and we're getting way tickets to see the game with us.
Yes. You can't say suite. You can say like bigger area to sit.
Bigger area to sit.
Big room.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you can't say we're going. Oh. You can say some are going.
Some people are going.
This is confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers with Beer Mug on the show today.
Fantastic.
Hey. Yes.
Excited about that.
My favorite.
We're going to take a look at NFL week number 7. And we have a big surprise for you at 9 o'clock.
Ooh.
An announcement. Very excited about that.
Who is it?
We'll take a break.
And I became the time that you're laughing at a man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
So weird. We're playing that the exact same time as The Wave. Isn't that weird that we both are playing the same song at the same time?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Allie, what's happening on this Monday?
Well, Bean, I know you were sick this weekend, so you probably didn't leave the house to see Downton Abbey like you've been saying you were for a month.
I might surprise you.
Did you?
No, but I mean, I might have surprised you.
Right. No, you wouldn't.
Possible.
All right. Well, guess what? It's not in the top five anyway. However, it did become Focus Features' highest grossing film ever. It's brought in $88 million so far. Not bad, right?
Sure.
Kevin, you see any movies this weekend?
I didn't.
Oh.
That's unusual.
Yeah.
It is unusual.
Oh, only because you saw a screener of Zombieland.
I would have seen Zombieland, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Disney's Maleficent. Maleficent?
Mm-hmm.
Mistress of Evil. Topped the box office this weekend, but a pretty soft opening for that movie. It was a $185 million budget, and it opened at $36
million. Whoa.
Just by comparison, the original opening of that movie, because this, of course, is the sequel, that was $69
million. Ah.
Nice. But yeah, that seems like not what you want.
Seems like they got a long way to go to make their dough back.
A little bit, yeah. Coming in second in its third week, Joker made $29 million. Zombieland Double Tap, $26.7 million, landing in third place. And then coming in fourth, The Addams Family, rounding out the top five, Gemini Man. So not a big weekend for movies, is what I'm saying.
Gosh, I love movies.
Thank you, sir. It's great to know. Hey, Jake Gyllenhaal, boy, does he love dogs.
Would you like to expand on
that?
Nope. Okay.
Just going to let you know different actors that like dogs.
Okay.
During the 5 a.m. What's Happening. Yeah.
I'm a Gyllenhaal head, just so it's out there.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's great. I think he's great, too.
Good in everything he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brings the heat.
Well, wait till you hear this story.
Okay.
It is delightful. So he's walking in New York City Thursday morning. He spots an enormous Dalmatian just standing terrified in the middle of a busy intersection. The dog was on a leash, but had gotten away from its owner, who was too small to control the bulky 3-foot-tall animal. This article is written in the best of ways. Gyllenhaal, well known as a dog lover. Is that well known? We all know that?
I didn't know till just now.
It's the first thing I thought
neither.
Of. Jake Gyllenhaal loves dogs.
Well known as a dog lover. Left the woman he was walking with. Gonna need more info on that, right? Stepped into flowing traffic, bringing the cars to a standstill.
Just by his very presence.
Like, as if Jesus parted the sea. Is basically what this article alludes to that I added myself. He calmed the dog down, led it back to safety. Witnesses say the actor even took a moment to talk to the terrified dog owner about different types of leashes that might prevent similar situations.
Wow. Gave a class.
Can you imagine? He's like, while I was out there saving your dog, I Googled a few of these leashes you could be getting.
Sounds like it just needs to be a bigger person.
That's what it sounds like.
Get a smaller dog.
Yeah, get a smaller dog. You are tiny. Apparently, Gyllenhaal has had several dogs, including a Puggle and a German Shepherd.
Oh, that's the detail I'm looking for.
Yeah. So, Jake Gyllenhaal stepping into traffic, saving a terrified Dalmatian.
I get very upset when I see people often with their dogs out, not on a leash.
That's crazy.
It seems very dangerous.
Nuts.
A lot can go wrong when your dog is not on a leash.
Well, this dog was on a leash, but
got off the leash.
Well, no, the leash was, got off the owner.
Yeah.
What? Listen, you weirdos. Guys, Kanye West has confirmed that Jesus is King is going to drop on Friday.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah.
Anybody believe that?
We've been fooled before.
Hallelujah.
It sounds good, though.
It's really good.
Doesn't it? Sounds really good.
I'm just so excited about this religious music that Kanye West is going to put out.
No, I can tell.
Nobody is.
I legitimately am.
I know, and that is so weird to me.
I really am.
Why would you care? It's going to be so bad.
I don't know. I'm not a believer in the Lord, as you know, but I do have an attraction to gospel music. I do, because it's the greatest story ever told, and I think it can be... Well, it is. And
I think it's not in music form.
And I think it can be very impactful if it's well done.
Yeah,
I
mean,
but we're talking about Kanye West,
right? Look, it's not Kirk Franklin.
It might suck. Right. It might suck, but I'm eager to hear it.
Okay.
What if it's the best thing he's ever done?
Yeah, Jesus is King.
That seems unlikely.
Wow.
I'm still looking forward to hearing
it. Well, if you guys were wondering if his trademark Sunday service is going through, it was denied. So he had attempted to get exclusive ownership of the title for clothing, a ton of stuff, scarves, shirts, socks, dresses, footwear, everything. U.S. Patent and Trademark Office shut him down because apparently someone else is using the name and it would cause confusion in the marketplace. Yeah, I wonder if like a church is using it.
I would think so, yeah. I mean,
very possible.
So,
how does he not think of that? How does he not go... A million people have to be using it.
Yeah, you would think. I feel like maybe a quick Google search.
Yeah.
And now I can't have Sunday service socks. That's what you're telling me.
That's what I'm telling you.
First Taco Tuesday, now this.
Oof, right?
What a bummer. Guys, some birthdays for you. Amber Rose, by the way, we never discussed her son's name.
Oh.
I don't know. What is it?
Slash Electric.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Slash Electric.
She's a huge, huge, huge GNR fan. No, literally.
Oh, really?
Like, she's tweeted about him for years, like, freaked out when they reunited. Electric is quite the middle name.
Oh, it is.
But Slash Electric.
Okay.
All right. Kid's going to be a superhero, I hope.
Sounds like a new Tesla model.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah. Judge Judy.
That's baloney.
No, it's
real. It doesn't make sense.
It's just your birthday. Ken Watanabe and... The hot priest from Fleabag, Andrew Scott.
Yeah! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
This what a little bitch you are.
Kevin and Bean Tilts.
Label things properly. Ah.
6:23.
Man, wow. How you got to come at me first thing in the morning like that?
We are on the air, Omar.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, no.
It's great to have you in here. I was trying to have a good day.
Omar has attitude now, now that he has a fan club, by the way. Hey, we want you to join us, you and a guest, to join us for Kevin Amin's Last Breakfast with Green Day in the HD Radio Sound Space Monday morning. We will give you those tickets in 5 minutes, 5 minutes from right now here on K-Rock. First, though, how did we get into talking about which member of the staff we were going to eat in the event of a zombie apocalypse? That seems like pretty desperate conversation.
Well, Ruben, during one of his day in history bits, admitted that he has eaten people before back in the days of caves and hieroglyphics in his childhood. And so it quickly became who we would eat first from the staff.
Amongst us, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why are we going to need to eat each other?
Well, that is a ground rule.
Because I do feel like there's still food in the world.
Well, that's not what's going to happen.
Is it tainted? You know? We don't know.
Well, is it? Okay. Because Kevin wanted to know if it was a zombie apocalypse or what the reasoning
or
was.
Or desert island. Very different.
I see it as fallen plane, alive soccer team. Like, I see it as something has happened. We were all together, and now we haven't been rescued, and it's time to eat someone.
Wait, so are we soccer players in this
No,
scenario?
But I'm saying, like, we are the team. We got flown somewhere to do the show.
Okay.
We crash, and it's been weeks.
Okay.
Are we the only people around, or can we eat other passengers we don't know?
Yeah, what about a flight attendant?
Just us. No, it's just us now.
Just us.
Who
flew the plane then?
Pilots, but they were the only survivor. And now, because we waited so long, their meat is tainted.
Look, just go with the basis, which is, which of us do we eat first?
Yes.
I need a backstory.
Is it possible we're in an elevator, and the elevator is stuck, and now we're all starving?
However it works out, we need someone.
I want it to be more desperate. I need we are in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, so we're in the Andes.
Yes.
And somebody's got to go. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Are we cooking them up, or is it just raw?
Great point.
Good question.
Great point.
I think you have the ability to cook them up. Okay. You know, we have to make the fire, though. So keep that in mind when you're deciding.
Good luck with that, with us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Keep that in mind as to who we eat. Because we'd need someone with
skills.
My
thought is we have a little bit of time to plan because Jensen's going to off himself.
Yes.
Yeah. Jensen, if that's your plan.
I have immediately announced that I would kill myself in a zombie
apocalypse. So at that point, we have a week.
But the plane, I might have a little bit of, people are looking for us. We're not on the radio.
A little hope, then.
Yeah, a little hope.
So you don't want to kill yourself just in case we get rescued.
Correct.
Okay,
so I am available for eating.
I'll just go. I'll just go first. Okay. I'll just go first because we got to get the conversation started here. And I know this is a this might be a controversial choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think I eat beer mug first.
Okay, and why is that?
And the reason twofold. One is there's way more meat on beer mug than anybody else. I mean, if we kill anybody else, we probably have to kill a second person in the amount of meat that we get off of beer mug.
Beer mug is just pointing
to his crotch saying right. There's more meat there.
Right. Yeah.
Pointing to his crotch and mouthing the words more meat here.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
What I'm saying is beer mug, there's enough meat on beer mug to feed all of us going around twice. Okay.
Okay.
First of all.
Right.
And the second reason is because you always hear this that the taste of flesh is impacted greatly by the diet of the person of what the animal eats.
Okay.
Right.
Beer mug, that's going to be some sweet meat, you guys.
See, now I disagree.
Yeah, I eat
mostly healthy. I eat clean as I can be. This man, he eats like French fries at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
He has disgust in him.
But on a good note, you get a meal and alcohol.
You do get buzz.
But I can't really stand weed or whatever. So it'd be like eating an edible because he smokes so much weed.
And then he'd be so much more hungry.
But when you're stranded.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't eat mugs. That meat is tainted.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking not only the weed, not only the alcohol, but you get all of the sugar and all of the salt. I mean, I just feel like he would be delicious.
Wow.
There'd be a ton of them, and he'd be delicious. My choice is beer mug.
He wants your sweet and salty.
Yeah,
all right.
Omar, who do you pick?
Allie. I have to eat Allie first.
Thank you.
Because I think she's the cleanest out of the bunch. Because we know Kevin is a stinky-ass white man.
Yeah. We know that.
You know
what
I mean?
Thank you.
Jensen's really hairy. He's probably the hairiest of the bunch.
Yeah, you got to get through a lot of hair.
It's like a kiwi.
Yeah. And then Bean, I imagine biting into Bean is like, you know when you bite into that fatty piece of meat because he doesn't work out? There's no tone in
the
Bean's
gristle.
Body.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're
like
chewing
gristle.
It for the rest of time.
Absolutely. It'd be like hell and ass.
It doesn't break down or anything.
Ironically, that is why I would eat Kevin.
Really?
I love chicken skin.
Oh, my God. What just happened?
I feel like you'd be eating chicken skin. It would be great. I like gristle. What you just sold me on, that's what I want from
Why
a barbecue.
Why is that what you want?
Because it tastes good. It's salty. It's like, it's just, and I don't have to worry about like cholesterol or anything. I feel like that's what I'm going for. I'm going for all skin.
But I don't think if you're in a situation where you're in the Andes and you're eating a human to stay alive, you're really concerned about your cholesterol. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I'm digging in. I'm trying to live longer, but still, the skin is the best.
Omar, is part of the reason you choose Allie is because she's a girl, so she's softer and you think she might be easier to eat?
No. Not really? No.
I
just think,
I don't like this.
You know,
no.
I think there's not that much hair to get through.
Okay.
First of all.
Thank you.
She chugs a bunch of water, so I think her meat's getting, you know, kind of like cleaned out.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point.
Don't point at your crotch, Allie.
Well, if you said meat getting cleaned out, that would be the. Okay.
All right. I guess Allie, who are you eating?
I have friends in Peru, so I'm just walking to their house.
You're not playing the game.
Yeah, that's
Boo.
Not right. Boo.
Boo.
Eat someone. Eat someone! Eat someone! Eat Bean!
Okay. I'm dying, you guys.
Oh, Bean's dead. Well, Bean's dead.
We gotta start with Crystal,
I'll start with him.
Tell him about the Green Day.
Okay, we have Kevin and Bean's last breakfast with Green Day. You can only win the tickets now. Last week, we were giving them away all day on K-Rock. Mm-hmm. This week, it's just on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to play a game next. So call now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will play a game and give you those tickets.
It is Monday morning here on K-Rock. That means we're minutes away from our weekly visit with Great News coming up just after 7 a.m. First, though, next Monday, around 8 a.m., it's Breakfast with Green Day, you guys. We are giving away tickets all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to be in the audience to help us interview the band, also listen to the band performing live for you, then you need to be on the phone right now because this game is called, believe it or not, Billy Joe or Billy Joel.
We have tickets to see Green Day.
Yeah.
If you win, you can take your bet.
HD Radio Sound Space.
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? That is what you have to know.
So I know that their names are similar, Ally McKay, but what do you mean by Billy Joe or Billy Joel?
Basically, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read a lyric from a well-known song. Is it Green Day or is it a Billy Joel song? All you'll have to say is Billy Joe or Billy Joel.
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel?
All right, that sounds simple enough. And if you're right, you go into the drawing and somebody at the end wins tickets, entry to our Breakfast with Green Day. Who's our first contestant, please?
Angie in Van Nuys. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Angie. I'm going to read you these lyrics. You just tell me, is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? You ready?
I'm ready.
This time you've got nothing to lose. You can take it, you can leave it, whatever you choose. I won't hold anything back. And I'll walk away a fool or a king.
Okay, I'm going to go with Billy Joel.
And I say you're right.
Nicely done.
Look at that. It's as simple as that. Okay, so
that was
Angie...
a matter of trust, by the way, by Billy Joel.
Still would, right, Allie?
Oh, 100. Yeah.
Yeah. Angie is in the drawing. Who's next, please?
Next is Blanca. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Blanca, just tell me, is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Hear the sound of the falling rain coming down like an Armageddon flame. A shame, the ones who died without a name.
Billy Joe?
It is.
Coming down like an Armageddon flame.
Look at that. Two for two. Well done, ladies.
All right, Anthony in La Mirada is next. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Anthony, is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel?
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel?
I'm walking down the line that divides me somewhere in my mind, on the borderline of the edge and where I walk alone.
That would be Billy Joe.
It is.
Correct.
I'm walking down the line.
Three for three.
This game is not difficult, it turns out.
No.
Ian in Monterey Park, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
All right, Ian, just let me know when I read these lyrics if it's Billy Joe or Billy Joel.
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel?
She'll promise you more than the Garden of Eden. Then she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding. But she'll bring out the best and the worst you can be. Blame it all on yourself.
Billy Joel?
It is, wow. Because she's always a woman.
You more than the Garden of Eden.
This game is simple, you guys.
Yeah,
this
no
is,
kidding.
Yeah, all the Billy Joel songs say New York in them, so that makes it really easy.
Next up is Ruth in Santa Ana. Good morning, Ruth.
Hello.
Billy Joel looks like a pug, right, you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No question. Okay. Just what makes you wrong.
And not a good-looking pug.
Yeah. No.
Wow. This
not
is...
like the Men in Black pug or whatever. Like a homeless, sick pug.
Right.
This seems unnecessary.
Well, we're just trying to... clarify.
All right, Ruth, all you have to do is tell me, is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are.
Billy Joe.
Yeah. Here comes the rain again.
Unbelievable.
Five in a row.
I feel bad for all these people who went to the process of calling, getting in, getting on, getting it right, and only one will win tickets.
But they're in the drawing.
I know, yeah. But only one will win.
Bean can look at anything negative.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I feel so bad for the people who won't win because they deserve it.
All right, listen, five in a row, no pressure on Rick in Riverside. Good morning.
What's up, everybody?
How have you been doing on hold, Rick?
I'm, I don't want to jinx it, but I'm 5 for 5.
All right.
Okay. All right.
You just jinxed it. All right, here we go. You got a nice white dress and a party on your confirmation.
Billy Joel.
All right.
Yeah. Nice white dress and a party on your confirmation.
Man knows is Billy Joel.
Didn't even
By the
it.
Way, the best Billy Joel song right
let's
there.
Let's do one more, shall we?
Okay.
David, so we can have a clean sweep.
David in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, David. Tell me, is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? So go do what you like. Make sure you do it wise. You may find out that your self-doubt means nothing was ever there. You can't go forcing something if it's just not right.
That would be Billy Joe.
Look at that.
So go do what
Look
you
at that.
Like.
You guys are awesome Green Day and Billy Joel fans. Angie, Blanca, Anthony, Ian, Ruth, Rick, and David all in the drawing. Only one can join us 1 week from today for our Breakfast with Green Day. It's Kevin Bean's last breakfast. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is David.
David, the last person we talked to. Congratulations, David.
All right, that's awesome.
You got the ticket.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the breakfast, and thanks for playing the game.
Is it Billy Joe or Billy Joel? Is it Billy Joe?
So I hope you saw The Watchmen debuted last night on HBO.
Great.
Good Lord.
So good.
It was great.
I watched it again.
We had Regina King in on Thursday's show. If you didn't hear that, she talks all about The Watchmen, and it's just amazing, and it's last Thursday's podcast, if you'd like to get that. It is 6:53.
Great news coming up right after the top of the hour. Then we'll give away some tickets to see two local basketball teams whose names we're not allowed to mention play each other. That's coming up, plus Cheers with Beer Mug. So a big, big 7 o'clock hour. First, Allie, what's happening here on this Monday?
I saw this article. I posted the song over the weekend. And I've listened to it about 20 times since then because I love it. Remember back in 1984, Chaka Khan had a career revitalizing smash with
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan. The song was I Feel For You. Remember that song?
Of course, yes. Great song.
Did you say Shakur?
He did say Shakur. Did you say Shakur on purpose?
No.
Okay.
Well, it was this funky Grammy-winning R&B crossover, harmonica solo from Stevie Wonder, guest rap from Melly Mel. It was the jam. But before all those versions, a song existed as an unreleased acoustic demo by a man named Prince. A man named Prince that was only 20 years old at the time.
Wow.
That did I Feel For You acoustic. And Friday morning, Prince's estate dropped the demo as a surprise release. And now we are all better for it.
Stand out in the hallway.
He was only 20. He didn't know how microphones worked.
Guitar is a little overpowering there. But I do love that.
So I would buy a whole album of him demoing songs.
Oh, 100%.
Ones I've never heard, ones I have heard. I'd buy all of them.
You guys. So good.
Mm-hmm. He was a once-in-a-generation talent.
Absolutely. That he recorded that on his acoustic guitar back in the winter of 78. So, not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. Oh, it made me so happy. You guys, Coldplay. You been getting any letters in the mail from Coldplay?
In the post? No.
In the post? It's what's happening
right
now.
Should I get a letter from Coldplay?
Well, the people are. That's the thing. They are seemingly teasing a new double album. This in a letter that fans have been receiving in the mail.
This is the band that we were told their last album was their last album, by the way. Remember?
Yeah, but then they had that, is this going to be Coldplay under a different name type of thing? We had that whole rumor coming out. But last week, the band teased their return with a series of images spotted in Berlin, Hong Kong, Sydney, all cities across the globe. They also changed her social media profile picture to an image of a sun and a moon, sparking speculation that their rumored experimental album is on the way. Now, a letter sent to fans across the globe reveals that the band will release a double album on November 22nd, split into two halves called Sunrise and Sunset. I feel like if it's true, Coldplay is going to release that on November 22nd. It's not going to be a Kanye situation where next November 22nd we're like, is it coming now? Like, what's happening? I feel like Coldplay tells the truth. Are you guys excited for new Coldplay double album?
I'm never excited for double albums. We know that they always let us down. That's pretty universal, right?
You are such a boner killer.
Right, Bean?
No, it is not.
What do you like? It's a double album.
There are tons of double albums that are great.
And so I asked which ones you like, and then you responded with there are tons of them.
There are tons. Right. Well, while we're talking about Prince, Sign of the Times. Phenomenal double album.
I think it's too much music, but we know that.
I think it's
The
too
Rivers
much...
by Bruce Springsteen.
You're not forced to listen to it all at one time. You can go back.
Sure. Split them up.
There was this song.
1-877 Cars for Kids.
Is this from the experimental album?
K-A-R-S Cars for Kids.
That's my favorite one.
Oh, I have one.
That is good.
I will tell you that I am intrigued by the idea of a Coldplay experimental album.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that.
1-877 cars for kids.
Was the White Album double album?
Yes, White Album double album.
Oh,
great.
That was,
I don't know, probably the best album ever, a double album. Pink Floyd's The Wall?
Yes, it was.
Is it, though? Or is that just because it was a lot on record?
No, it's a double album. It's a double album. I mean, they're, look.
Those are both very good.
There are lots of great double albums.
Bruce Springsteen?
I mentioned The River. I mentioned
that. Oh, you did?
What about The River by Bruce Springsteen?
Did mention
that. I don't count
Rolling Stones?
I don't count Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. I count that as just two albums. Right?
Exile on Main Street, right?
Considered the greatest Rolling Stones album of all time.
So I think what we're saying here is Jensen.
No.
Denied.
Stand down.
I'm
stand
excited.
Stand down, mofo.
I'm excited for everyone
stay
to like
on target. Stay on target.
Coldplay double album of experiments.
I'm here for it.
Donate your car today.
I hope that's how they end it.
Rejected.
What about mother effing London Calling?
Oh my God.
What
Clash.
About mother effing London Calling?
Oh my God, Jensen, you couldn't be more wrong.
I'm standing by it. When the Coldplay record comes out, we will revisit.
You're denied, sir.
We will revisit that there are no good double albums and we just listed six.
No, that this is going to end up being more along the lines of most double albums, not the few exceptions that you've brought up.
Not even close.
I can't. Let's get out of this segment. I'm
okay.
So upset.
Yeah, let's do that because I'm going to go listen to Physical Graffiti right now by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yes!
He'll miss the rest of the show. See, 3 hours.
And a little bit of tomorrow. Some birthdays for you. Andrew Scott, you might know him from Sherlock or the hot priest from Fleabag. Amber Rose, Ken Watanabe, and Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
No Judge Judy.
I want you to answer my question.
She scares me.
She should.
Coming up in about 6 minutes or so, we'll give you your tickets for the Battle for L.A. We're talking professional basketball teams going against each other on the opening day of a season by a league whose name we cannot mention. Making this very difficult. But we'll give away those tickets coming up. First, though, it's Monday. There's plenty of bad news in the world. But every week at this time, we bring you great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Guys, I'll start off the great news because I saw this story and the pictures and the video might be the cutest thing I've ever seen. But, of course, it starts out kind of a bummer because a little girl, a 2-year-old named Braylon, was in a car accident with her mom. And she is freaking out in the backseat. And two firefighters from the North Davis Fire District of West Point in Utah were the first on the scene. And their quick thinking changed everything.
When I walked up, she was screaming really, really loud.
A quick-thinking firefighter saw her clenching bottles of nail polish.
Something common that I can use to help her. I'm like, I don't know. I just opened them up.
The captain let Breland paint his nails, then the battalion chief.
And a lot of the colors she wanted was pink and purple, but I kind of got the feeling that she wanted to keep my hand pink and his purple.
Now keep in mind, this was the first time Breland's done this. Their first time, too.
Drying them this way? I didn't know that was a technique.
A crying Breland calmed down.
She just lit up.
Every time she switched color, she would just let out this boisterous laugh.
It's the cutest video.
That.
And let me just say, she's two. Boy, is she bad at painting nails. I mean, the color goes all the way down to their knuckles. It's just all over the place. But you see these two burly firemen so proud posing with their fingernail polish, but it totally calmed her down. Both the firefighters are fathers, so they knew they had to do something quick because she was absolutely losing it. And it's just a sweet, sweet video. And now all she wants to do is go to grandma's and paint nails, go somewhere and paint. It's like like her new thing.
I was like, we got to avoid her.
Right?
I have too much paint.
What if she totally charged the guys after? She's like, that'll be $10.
What should we do to her mother for naming her Breelyn, though?
It's Breelyn, and that, my friend, is a very Utah name.
Oh, really?
Utah names are something spectacular,
yeah.
And I appreciate all of them. But mostly, I appreciate these two wonderful men from the North Davis Fire District of West Point. And that's my great news.
Not going to lie, that's a good one, Allie.
Yeah,
that's
thanks.
A good one. You guys hear the story about, you know, they've had terrible flooding in Texas the last couple of years in the Houston area. There was a hotel in Beaumont, Texas that was basically underwater. There was one employee in the hotel, a 21-year-old part-timer who was the only person working at the Homewood Suites for 32 hours.
Wow.
He was the only guy taking care of all the guests, answering the phones, cooking, doing dishes, washing laundry.
Wow.
He did
oh
it
my
all,
goodness.
Which is unbelievable that he didn't just walk out the door, right? Well, he got rewarded.
A big night for the hotel hero who worked for 32 straight hours at Homewood Suites after Imelda's floodwaters rolled in last month.
By the way, that guy is actually doing the news.
What's happening?
I am on television.
That is a terrible reporter.
It's
I love it.
Terrible. He's the anchor. He's
no,
the anchor.
No.
Guys, it's Texas. Okay.
Satchel Smith was all alone at the hotel, and the part-time employee smiled and went to work, taking care of dozens of stranded customers there at the hotel. Smith, a Lamar University track athlete, lost his car in the flooding after losing a car to Harvey as well 2 years ago.
By the way, did you catch that? He lost his car in this flood, had previously lost his car 2 years ago in Hurricane Harvey.
Did he just give up on the car thing?
I am not giving him insurance.
And maybe move. Maybe move.
Well, tonight, Smith was recognized for his dedication. State Senator Brandon Creighton led a ceremony, and Smith was given this new car, a 2013 Honda Insight.
Okay, wow. Now let me just say, a 2013 Honda Insight, State Senator?
Oh, you... I heard 2018.
Oh, no, 2013.
Oh.
2013!
Oh, come on!
32 hours, the dude is the only guy in the hotel doing the work. You own a car lot. You can't find him anything other than a 2013. Look, I know
it
a new car
new.
Is. Yeah, was it, though?
To him?
New
sure.
to him, yes. I'm not trying to poop on this story.
It sounds like you are.
Yeah, but
exactly
the,
what
but
you're
why
doing.
Why is the car 6 years old? If
that's
you're going to give the brother a new car, give the brother a new car. He, of course, was very diplomatic and very happy about it, though.
I was very overwhelmed. Like, I don't expect anything from what I did because, I mean, I was just doing it and I was just doing my job.
One of the guests at the hotel while he was there, by the way, named Angela Chandler, said that he handled the situation with grace, kindness, and a beautiful smile on his face. Wow. I think he did a lot more than the rest of us would have done if we were the only employee in that hotel
and pick up the phone and go, what?
Yes, exactly. Anyway, cool stuff. That's my great news.
Mine is back in Utah.
Oh.
Oh.
A Dixie High School senior is donating a school bus and supplies to a school in Mexico. He visited a small school when he was a freshman in high school in a town that I'm going to try and say, Pontambán, Michoacán.
I think you nailed it.
Positive that's not right. He goes to the school. The kids have nothing. They don't have pencils. They don't have paper. And they don't have a bus, so they live at the school. It's too far to walk.
Oh, man.
Their parents can't pick them up. So basically, they go to school on Monday, and they stay there till Friday.
Oh, wow.
And then they go home on Friday and see their families. Allie, you're an awful human being.
Okay, thanks.
So this kid, who's a freshman in high school in Utah, sees this, and he's like, this is not fair that I have what I have and they don't have anything.
Yeah.
So he spent his entire high school years, all 4 years, raising money for a bus. Took his family, they drove to Minnesota and bought a huge bus. It's a school bus. And then spent the rest of the time filling it up with supplies.
Oh, my gosh.
And this Christmas, he's going to drive it down to the border. The school's going to meet him there, and they're all going to go down to the little school, and he's going to donate the bus along with all the items.
And this is a senior in high school now.
Yes. Now,
4 years he's been doing
it. He started this when he was a freshman.
Wow.
I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Yeah.
This guy's so much better than me.
All of us.
So he tried to raise money. He tried to raise $5,000. He raised more than that, of course. Got the bus, filling it with supplies. And his mom said something at the end that I think is really amazing, and that's why we do this feature. I think if everyone everywhere did just a small gesture, that our world would be a better place. And I agree.
Not wrong, yeah.
And that's my great news. All right.
Cool.
Very dramatic.
I like that. Shall we do basketball?
We should do basketball.
Let's do basketball. It's a pair of tickets for the K-Rock Suite for the Basketball Battle of L.A. It's coming up on October the 22nd at, am I allowed to say the venue?
That's tomorrow. I don't know.
It is tomorrow. At a place where basketball is played by both teams. It is the start of the season of a certain league. If you'd like to be there in a K-Rock Suite with members of the Kevin and Bean Show and watch some first-class professional basketball, we're going to be looking for you right now. I guess the what we're looking for here is you know your basketball league, right?
Sure.
You know players in your basketball league.
Sure.
1-800-520-1067. Your tickets for the Battle of L.A.
All right, there's a game. There's a game that you can play.
Yes.
With a round ball.
Mm-hmm. Right. Gotcha.
And you would throw it up higher than you. And then it would go in a cylinder.
Yes.
I think we're allowed to say basketball, Kevin. We can say basketball.
Oh.
That would have helped a lot if I knew that before.
Professional basketball teams competing against one another to open a season tomorrow night at Staples Center. That's what we're giving away. Tickets at 1-800-520-1067. The game is called Hoop Dreams.
Hoop Dreams are made of these. NBA players in weird movies. Get the right answer and you will see. One of these players maybe score a three. Hoop Dreams.
Kind of ran out of steam there, didn't he?
We criticized when it's too long.
He was
Jensen,
strong at first.
You are hosting. I heard something about movies there. How does that tie into a professional basketball association?
Well, I'm a basketball head as well as a movie head. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm mixing the two. So the idea being, I give you the description of a player who was once in a movie, and you tell me the player in which I'm describing.
It's not necessarily the two teams that we're giving away tickets for, either.
I couldn't say their names anyway.
Right.
Yep. But good basically, you tell me the name of the person I'm describing from a movie he was in.
Okay. Hoop Dreams.
Let's give it a try.
All right, let's start with Carlos in Fontana. Good morning, Carlos. Hello. Good
morning.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey,
all
Carlos.
Right. Here we go.
I'm good. Hard.
No one asked.
Ask.
No one asked.
Listen up.
All right, here we go. When fleeing from bullies, a young boy named Max runs into an old warehouse and bumps into a magical boombox. And as a result, he manages to release Kazam, a 7-foot, 1-inch genie who's been held captive for thousands of years. What is it?
Shaq
is correct, yes.
Shaq it is.
Hoop Dreams.
Apparently, Carlos is in a hurry. He will not let you finish the question, but he is in the drawing.
He was slow to say his name.
Let's go to Erez in Woodland Hills. Good morning.
Morning, party people.
Hello, Erez. All right. What fan favorite standing 7 foot 3 inches tall finds himself in John Wick 3, trading punches with Keanu Reeves in a library? But it wasn't the first time this giant was in front of a camera. He once said this classic line in a local Texas car dealership commercial.
This sound system is awesome.
Who is the NBA big man?
Oh, I'm blanking on his name. He played for the Cavs and the Lakers.
Neither of those. Neither of those. That was Boban, baby.
Boban.
Sex symbol.
Jensen's favorite player
ever. Did you say sex symbol?
Yeah, heartthrob. Boban.
Let's go to Daniel in Fontana. Good morning, Daniel.
What's up, party people?
Hey, Daniel. This all-time great played a pilot in a 1980s comedy classic that took to the skies and had him argue with a young boy about how hard he played every night. But also, he was playing himself. Not really, though. Anyway, that's hard to explain. But not as hard to explain as his role fighting Bruce Lee in Game of Death in 1978. I will accept either of his names. So what highest-scoring player of all time am I talking about?
Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
Nice.
Take
Hoop Dreams.
He should get two entries, by the way.
Not how it works. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Mike in Corona. Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Hey, Mike. What rebounding legend starred in a hardcore action movie alongside Jean-Claude Van Damme called Double Team in 1997 while he was still an active NBA player and league leader? He has a very classic line read. Let's hear it.
The best defense is a strong offense.
Oh, very good. He's sporting green hair in the film, but you've seen him in just about every color. Who's the NBA actor?
Dennis Rodman.
That is Dennis Rodman.
Nicely done.
Hoop Dreams.
Are any of these movies worth seeing?
No.
Airplane. Airplane.
Oh, Airplane, yeah.
I saw a very different Double Team.
Well, you should stop Googling.
Let's go to Jeff in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Here we go. He's best known as the all-time leader in three-pointers made, well, until Steph Curry eventually demolishes that record. But he also starred alongside Denzel Washington in the 1998 Spike Lee joint He Got Game as Jesus Shuttlesworth, a top high school prospect being recruited by colleges. It's never too hard to play a basketball player when you're a basketball player yourself. But who did it pretty well in this flick?
I'm going to say Ray Allen.
It was Ray Allen.
Hoop Dreams.
Very,
very good.
Impressive.
He surprised himself.
Yeah, no kidding.
We are playing for tickets for tomorrow night's game in a suite at Staples Center to see two local professional right. basketball teams right. play against each other. The game is called Hoop Dreams. Who's our next
and
contestant?
And four or five of us are going as well. We're going to share the suite with you.
Yes.
Next up is Jesse in Walnut.
Hey, party people.
Hey, Jesse. All right, here we go. The movie My Giant was inspired by Billy Crystal's real-life friendship with Andre the Giant, who he met on the set of Princess Bride. But when Andre passed away, Billy turned to this basketball player, the tallest to have ever played in the NBA, to portray his sidekick. This was his only movie, but he does briefly appear in Eminem's Hi, My Name Is video as a ventriloquist. Luckily, you don't have to spell his name, but what's the tall player I'm talking about?
Is it Marusin?
It's said differently. It's.
Honestly.
I will give it to him.
I'd say give it to him.
It's George Mirison, but he got very, very close.
I'm going to say give it to him.
I'd say give it to him.
Let's do it.
Give it to him as well.
There's no way I would have gotten that one. Not a possibility.
That is a deep cut.
Wow.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay.
How did he do that? All right, let's go to Douglas in L.A. Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning.
Just FYI, we've had 8 or 9 calls on the screen, and next to it, it says what team they're into. They're all into the same exact LA team.
Oh, are they?
Not of the one that's the stepson. They all like the better,
not
more
your
successful.
Team, Jensen.
Not my
right.
team is what
right,
I'm
right,
saying.
Right, right.
Okay, here we go.
I think that's true in general.
Well, that's sad. In what I hope will be the only movie ever inspired by a Pepsi Max commercial, what NBA all-star donned old man makeup in order to play Uncle Drew in 2018 and co-starred with Tiffany Haddish, Little Rel Howery, and J.B. Smoove? He isn't sure the earth is round, but he did star in this movie. What Hooper am I talking about?
Oh, boy.
He's a flat earther, if that helps.
He believes the earth is flat, if that helps you.
Not round at all. Does that help you? The earth is not... Okay, that's not it.
Not like a ball.
Kyrie Irving?
Yes! 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 It did help him.
You gave him just enough time to Google.
Oh, there's no way he knew that. How did he come up with that?
Impressive.
Google, baby.
I have to tell you that we have some real basketball heads on the line. Carlos, Daniel, Mike, Jeff, Jesse, and Douglas all in the running. Only one will join us in the suite tomorrow night at Staples Center to see these two teams kick off the 2019-2020 season. Who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff. Congratulations, Jeff. Hello?
Oh,
is he,
you're
is
right,
he,
Jeff.
Is he excited?
Do you need help?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Should we call the authorities? What? Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
He's going to be a lot of fun to be in that suite with.
Hoop Dreams.
Looking ahead, two great things coming up in the 9 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, including a special announcement with a special guest attached.
Oh.
What?
Fair to say? Truthful? Special announcement with a special guest in the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, we're going to be playing your Halloween song pick for this morning. We have it up at the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. You cast your vote. Hundreds of votes already in. Will it be DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, A Nightmare on My Street?
I hate that song.
No, please.
Why are you hating on Jazzy Jeff?
On My Street.
And the Fresh Prince.
No, please.
Or will it be the Specials' Ghost Town? Right now, Jazzy Jeff leading.
Sons of bitches.
There's still about an hour and a half left to cast your vote. Go to the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, and we'll play the winner on the way in the 9 o'clock hour.
Muggs, you go to which bar for Cheers?
Oh, my bar, my favorite bar in the whole wide world, O'Grady's, Granada Hills, California. And it is the dive of dives, let me tell you. And great people.
And, and we're about to hear some of them as well.
Yeah.
Beer mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow.
So how did you come up with this topic?
The topic on the nice lacquered oak countertop this week was scariest Halloween movies, because 'tis the season.
Plus, he asks people who are drunk to explain the scariest part of the scariest movie.
Yeah, it gets good. You know, new characters walk into the bar every day, and just the best answers come out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm. Invisible Kid, because it was PG and it had Bush in it.
Oh. That's quite a start.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's quite a start.
Invisible Bush.
Invisible Kid.
Cabin in the Woods, because that bird flew into that wall at that one scene. Cabin in the Woods. I don't think I've ever seen that, but that was the scariest moment out of that?
No.
And what's your favorite Halloween movie?
Boobs.
Is that a Halloween movie even, or are you just... What's your favorite scary movie of all time?
That guy was just looking across the bar.
Yeah. Boobs.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's not a Halloween movie.
Yep. No.
The Shining.
What's the scariest part of that movie?
When he's trying to break into the bathroom.
Here's Johnny.
Yep.
What about you? Favorite scary movie of all time?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
What's the scariest thing about Freddy Krueger?
The fact that you can't control when he's going to come.
She's not... What?
Whoa!
She's not drunk.
No, she's
that totally, strikes me.
Totally sober. Her and the Shining Girl.
You can control when he comes because you just stay awake. So, boom.
But yeah, but you can never stay awake. You can eventually fall asleep
eventually,
no matter what.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You just kill yourself.
No, because, that is my theory. Yeah,
that's true.
You don't know when it's going to happen. It's unpredictable. And you're just left like scared the whole time because you just don't know when it's going to happen.
Marjorie, you just look at her like, oh my God, she's making sense. I can't. I don't know how to respond.
Curtis, scariest movie of all time.
Video of my wedding.
I'm going to say the scariest movie of all time is Poltergeist 2 because of that old, weird, creepy dude. Oh, yeah.
Scarier than Poltergeist 1?
Way scarier than Poltergeist 1.
A House of 1,000 Corpses from Rob Zombie. The very end, the scene.
Dr. Satan?
Dr. Satan, when the girl escapes, I think was the trippiest ending. And it was scary. It was creepy, and I'm not going to lie, it was awesome.
Was that just like a piano player
Mind
starting?
Mind you, it's karaoke night.
Oh, you didn't tell us that.
Yeah, all right,
that's
okay.
An important
they
point.
Might be singing
I think it was
their
the trippiest ending, and it was scary, it was creepy, and I'm not going to lie, it was awesome.
Dr. Satan!
Dr. Satan.
Annabelle coming home?
Hannibal.
Annabelle.
The doll.
Yeah, that one.
what was the scariest part of that movie?
The doll.
This is a great conversation. I just want to listen to this all day.
It's the doll.
It's the doll. What's the scariest part of the movie? The doll.
What was the scariest part of the doll?
It feels like it's staring at me. It feels like it can approach me at night.
Not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
Munch is the only person who's drunk in this.
Yeah, what's going on?
You tell us.
I think these people, the more they drink, I think just like the more coherent they get. And it's just
like opposite day.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
That's
probably usually like dolls like, you know... But not that kind of doll.
Oh.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yep, I hope so.
What's your favorite best movie horror of all time horror?
What's your favorite horror best movie horror of all time horror?
Say that again?
Best horror movie of all time horror.
Best?
Careful of my collarbone.
Best horror movie of all time. Oh, man. Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Why 4?
Okay, this has to has to be the reason I'm into BDSM.
Oh,
sorry, were you talking about The Exorcist?
When Freddy Krueger.
Wait.
What?
Bring it back,
got
please.
Deep.
Wait, you want me to go back? You asked him his favorite Halloween horror movie, and then he said this is probably the reason I'm into BDSM.
Yeah, and then I follow up with.
We'll get to it.
Yeah,
hold on.
Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Why 4?
Okay, this has to. Okay. This has to be the reason I'm into BDSM.
Wait, were you talking about The Exorcist?
When Freddy Krueger and Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Wait, you want to do it again?
Wait, what?
He's asking if you want to do it again.
Wow.
Should we retake that?
Holy
because
moly.
I don't feel like it's going well.
What the hell? What the f*** happened just happened? What?
Okay. Nightmare on Elm Street 4. He takes this girl. He pulls all of the veins out of her. And controls her like a puppet. I think that's the reason I'm into BDSM.
Oh,
what did you say after that? No,
I think that's the reason I'm into BDSM.
Oh, my God.
He said that like six times.
And Muggs is just putting it together.
Whoever, wait a minute. Hold on. Did you just see VSF?
Whoever was doing Every Rose Has Its Thorn in the background was pretty
good. Killing
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Killing it. Yep.
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Swings and Misses, the podcast on radio.com, all about sports. The hosts, Jennifer and Cody, join us in the 8 o'clock hour coming up this morning to talk about, among other things, the most incredible ending for Chargers fans ever.
They won it twice.
They won it twice in the final minute before they lost it. Mm-hmm. You've never seen anything like it. We'll discuss that in a World Series preview and more, all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, what's happening on this Monday?
I come bearing gifts.
All right.
He told you he'd be back. Huh? Right?
I mean,
pretty good.
Sure. The Arnold impression?
Sure am. Thank you.
That is funny.
You can see Arnold Schwarzenegger back in Terminator Dark Fate. It's in theaters on November 1st, but you, yes, you, listening right now, how about a pair of passes to the premiere of Terminator Dark Fate on October?
I hope you leave enough room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine. Yeah!
On October 28th at the TCL Chinese Theater, you guys. The premiere. You're going to the premiere to understand how cool that is.
It's very cool.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by this.
Well, excellent. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And since it's on October 28th, let's take caller 28 right now. Congratulations.
It's not a tumor.
No, it's a premiere that you're going to see. Guys, I need to play you something because it's Monday. It's a bummer. We're all back at work. Ugh. Maybe you spent all weekend yelling at somebody on Spectrum.
That was just you, I
phone,
think.
Just yes. Trying to get your DVR squared away, and they're like, oh, no, we fixed it. Then you're like, no, it's totally broken. Now it's ticking. Is that a problem? Anyway, maybe you're one of those people. I know I am. And you need something to lift you up. Well, the Washington Capitals have a little hockey team, and literally little. They're the Mites on Ice, that come out and play in between periods during the intermission. So there's no break in the action. You go right from NHL hockey into seeing the little guys. And Mites, it's like the Pee-wee Squirt banter.
Now, are these dwarves or are these children?
No, these are children.
Okay.
These are children.
Well, you hadn't said.
We don't know. Some of the kids could be dwarves. You don't know that.
It's hockey. These are children. They're called Mites. Yeah. Okay. And then you've got Squirt and Pee-wee Bantam, the levels.
Sure.
Only my brother played hockey growing up. Okay. Anyway, point is, they then introduce the Mite of the Night, and they do a little interview with the kid.
I love this kid so much.
And it shows the kid up on the Jumbotron. You're about to fall in love with this little nugget of a human. He is perfect. His name is Jackson. Behold the Mite of the Night.
All I wanted is to have some speed and have fun. Hockey, always remember, hockey's not about winning. It's always about fun. It's Ovechkin, and always I have a tarantula named Michael. He's a curly hair. He just had 2 crickets on Monday, 1 on Sunday. He has a big appetite. Yeah! I'm like seriously excited. I'm kind of shy, but mostly excited and courageous. All I wanted is just like shoot as hard as I can and go as fast as I can. Yes, I know everybody, my hockey team, mom and dad, I just love you so much, everybody. Please, God bless everybody.
My gosh, my heart melted. You guys, he talked about his tarantula, Michael. Mm-hmm. Just, and in between everything, the woman, the in-studio or in-arena host, just was like clutching her heart because she was like, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen. Oh, I'm courageous. Listen to it again.
The whole thing?
Just see if you can.
All I wanted is to have some speed and have fun. Hockey, always remember, hockey's not about winning. It's always about fun.
I like that he's like, he's telling the whole arena that.
Yeah, right. And they're cheering. And then you can see him get excited when people cheer for him.
It's Ovechkin, and always I have a tarantula named Michael. He's a curly hair. He just had 2 crickets on Monday, 1 on Sunday.
He's recapping what he said.
He sure is.
He has a big appetite. Yep. Yeah! I'm like seriously excited. I'm kind of shy, but mostly excited and courageous. all I wanted is just like shoot as hard as I can and go as fast as I can. Yes, I know everybody, my hockey team, mom and dad, I just love you so much, everybody. Please, God bless everybody.
You guys.
What a little hero.
Kids are stupid.
No. That's not the point.
He's the best.
He's the sweetest little kid.
Oh, and I love how he pronounced Ovechkin.
Yeah, Ovechkin.
That's not how you make America great.
Oh, screw you. You're not even from here.
I've watched that about 10 times.
Oh, my gosh. I love him so much. Yeah. And there was no way to corral him in any way, shape, or form. You just got to give Jackson the mic.
Let him run.
And let him run. And it just delighted me to no end. Guys.
That's because he's a douchebag.
We are not saying that. Nope. He is a child, and he's wonderful.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Children are terrible.
Sir, that's awful that you've said it before, and you felt the need to repeat it. I don't like it. Guys, you know who isn't like the NBA?
Isn't like the
that's
NBA?
That's a pretty open-ended question. Everyone else?
Isn't like
you know, the whole,
NBA?
Like,
China?
You know, bowing to China situation.
Right. Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah. All right. South Park.
South Park? Mm-hmm. Absolutely one. Quentin Tarantino.
Yes. Oh, okay.
He is not recutting his movie for Chinese release. He has no intention of recutting it for China. He's taking a stance of take it or leave it in the wake of Chinese regulators pulling the film from the schedule a week before its release in the country, October 25th. It was announced Friday that the Chinese release has been put on hold because of the way that Bruce Lee was depicted in a fight between him and Brad Pitt's
wow,
character.
Wow, they're picky.
Yep.
Apparently, it was his daughter, Bruce Lee's daughter, Shannon, that filed the complaint to China's National Film Administration about the depiction of her father. And Quentin Tarantino's like, that's cool. Don't show it. What are you going to do?
It's fine with it, yeah.
Right?
By the way, the studio that put this movie out is probably going, hey, that's hundreds of millions
Absolutely.
Of dollars of box office.
Absolutely.
What's Bruce Lee's daughter's name?
Shannon.
Shannon! Just set it up himself.
That was
Shannon's pizza's here.
Very organic.
An idiot. I just say kudos for not bowing to somebody that it's so stupid. Like it's not even a political thing. It's you don't like that Bruce Lee was kind of a dick in the movie,
right?
That's
Stop it.
Insane.
Spoiler alert, did not fare well in a fight.
Yeah, don't make me side with Tarantino, you guys.
I mean, he is somebody who you feel like is true to his art, though.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, and like, he's not going to make an edit to make somebody else happy. He wants to make his movies the way he makes his movies.
Right. I mean, there's still feet in those things.
Right.
Yeah. People have been calling that out for years. He's like, nah, man, I love it.
Yeah,
keeping those feet in.
Feet.
I'm actually going to do a movie of just feet. Feet are the stars. I'm going to put mouths on them. Draw them on.
I watched that.
He totally doubled down. People were like, stop it, perv. And he's like, no.
No.
This gets my job, man. This is what I do.
That's amazing.
Thank you, sir. All right, some birthdays for you. Amber Rose, Andrew Scott, Ken Watanabe, and Judge Judy.
Not interested, sir.
Ma'am, and I apologize for wishing you a happy birthday.
Tonight at Staples. That's all I got.
Very good.
That's all
really?
I got. It's all I got.
That's Tool tonight at Staples.
Staples.
Yes.
They played last night at Staples,
yep.
Tonight at Staples.
Yes.
Very strict no cell phone policy. Mm-hmm. However, you can keep it with you. You just can't use it.
So they're not doing the pouch thing?
No.
Or
just
they lock
it? They're trusting you to not take out your phone, take pictures, take
videos.
That'll
fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is...
That'll fail.
Well, okay.
What if I get hungry? What if I get hungry and want a DoorDash? In the middle.
Into the middle of the show?
Staples? Yeah.
You got to look into that.
I feel like you're all idiots.
Are they saying you can't use your phone for anything, like to text with your friends, or are they just saying you can't use it to take photos or video?
In the warning, it says if you have an emergency, go to the concourse away from the stage. So, I mean, it's not like an emergency photo of yourself. You know, if you have an emergency, you got to go somewhere else.
That's but sometimes I look great, though, and I need to get that moment captured.
Right? Well, see you in the concourse, bro.
I don't go to things. This is Bean speaking. As you know, I don't go to anything.
What?
Wow.
I would love to see Tool. I bet that would be so fun. I mean, I never will, but I mean, I think I would really enjoy it. If
I think you would too.
It's available for you.
Hey, before we talk about some bad advice that that Beer Mug has recently received, Jensen, it's Monday, and I know that's a very big day for you.
It's a big day for wrestling. It's Monday Night Raw. And so I have been bringing in things in from my life into Kevin and Bean here from wrestling. And I've realized it's very difficult to explain most things.
Yeah, this is ridiculous, too.
So I'm just going to give up. And this is a feature we'll do on Mondays. It's just out-of-context wrestling quotes that I find.
And now for Jensen's out-of-context wrestling clip of the week.
I was messing around trying to have a little fun with you last Friday on SmackDown. That is until I saw the way you looked at me like you wanted a piece of this.
And that was Jensen's out-of-context wrestling clip of the week.
That's it.
Love it.
Yeah, that's, no need for explanation.
That's how you proposed to Danielle, too. Very similar, right?
Piece of this.
Piece of this. All right, Muggs, how's the shoulder?
It's 4 weeks into the healing process. That means two to four more weeks of full healment, if that's a word.
No, that actually totally makes sense.
It's not, but we know what you're saying.
Are they still have you on a lot of pills, it seems.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. I got to wean off myself off those. But, yeah, and the entire time, I appreciate everybody's well wishes and good advice, but people are giving me, advice on how to take care of my collarbone and how to get to heal faster as if I hadn't gone to the doctor and as if I hadn't talked to any medical professional. And it's kind of annoying. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, people do, when they see that, they go, oh, what happened? Oh, broke collarbone. Oh, here's what I do. And they just, they're trying to help.
Yeah, but they're, like, the ones that get me are like the ones that kind of like, I don't want to scare you, but you're probably going to need surgery and you're probably going to need pins and screws to reset. I'm like, actually, the orthopedic surgeon told me that I'm not most likely not going to need surgery. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to need it. And if you don't, you got to keep your arm a little higher. No,
Did they stay at a Holiday Inn Express?
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah.
That might be it.
So, and it's just all this thing. Like, I walked in when I was doing Cheers with Beer Mug in a sling, and the guy's like, some guy comes up and he's like, dude, you need to put your arm higher. You need to roll your arm higher in that sling because it's not going to heal. I'm like, well, actually, the orthopedic surgeon told me that I should keep it at a 90-degree angle. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, I'm just telling you. Okay. It's just
There's so many people like that.
It's enough already.
Grady's is a place where a lot of doctors hang out.
They
right?
do. So,
I know that from Cheers.
True. Post-ops.
with a new baby, it seems like people want to give us advice all the time.
Oh, sure.
And we mostly,
because there's only one correct way to raise a child.
Clearly. And we mostly just run away. And it's a major reason we don't put our baby on social media so that people could be like, that's the wrong crib. You know, like things that baby parents shaming us. But the one that I remember the most as far as bad advice I've gotten from someone, my mom used to date this real D-bag. And I was going through a breakup, and I was sad about it. And I was like, you know, she's asked for time, you know, on her own so she could think about things and da da da. And he's like, oh, that's tough. You know what my suggestion is? You should go to her place. Just go to her place right now.
What?
And I was like, what?
She wanted time alone. You should just go to her house.
And I was like, wait, no, that's a bad thing. And he's like, no, you show up and you knock on the door and then you can talk to her. It puts her in a situation where, like, she sees you and
she can't get away.
This is a terrible idea, sir.
No. Awful
this
advice.
Is awful.
Oh,
and
did he say take rope, too?
I mean, and duct tape. No, but he really didn't, like, I didn't follow his advice, but he was sure it would have helped. And I was like, oh, sir, this is, you're dating my mom. This is awful. And luckily, it was only like a year later they broke up. But yeah, he
was
showed...
it Bean?
No, it was not Bean.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Haroldine and Bean?
No. It sounds like a comedy team. Actually, I think we found his UK show. Haroldine and the Bean.
All right, we're going to take your phone calls on getting bad advice. 1-800-520-1067. Allie, you have an ongoing problem, and you get probably more advice than anyone.
Yeah. If I ever mention that I get migraines, which I've gotten migraines since I was 16 years old, my mom had migraines. Her four sisters had migraines. My mom had a brain aneurysm. Like, it's got a lot of head problems in my family, is what I'm saying.
Obviously.
What?
But mine are completely hormonal. I know exactly when I'm going to get that migraine. Again, hormonal. It's my period, guys, is what I'm saying.
I
always
think we
know...
get that.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
But I will get, and everyone is very nice. They really think that they're helping.
Everyone means well.
But trust me, I've been dealing with migraines since I was 15. I've done it all. I've been on every prescription. I've done the acupuncture.
What about
I've done the meditation. I'm on Imitrex sumatriptan.
Okay.
I have done it all. I've done the massages. I've done the different foods. I've done
everything short of a lobotomy, which got an appointment next
some
week.
Some people so. Might think you might. Might help
think
the show.
I don't think you should discount that, Allie. Okay. I really
all right.
don't.
Yeah. Just let me jot that down.
Maybe a head transplant, too.
Oh,
I feel like
wow.
that's mean.
I mean, it did step over the line right
yeah.
there
mm-hmm.
into meanness.
Yeah.
Just anyway. Meaning you get a different brain that way.
No, you're saying a different face. I understand.
Well, I mean, wow. there would just be a side benefit.
Wow.
All right. So you got advice, and it may not have been the best advice, and you followed it. Did you ever follow any of these, or you just tell them, I've dealt with them for so long?
I've done, I'd say, most of them. I don't think there's ever been one that I went, oh, that's an interesting one. Could it happen? Maybe.
Did you do Botox in your scalp?
I have done Botox in my head and in the back of my neck. So that was fun.
Excedrin migraine?
Yeah.
Okay. Just
there's nothing anyone can suggest that you haven't thought of or tried.
We should keep giving her suggestions.
We're good. We're good.
Lobotomy.
I can't remember, again, bad advice that you were given, 1-800-520-1067. I can't remember who it was who said to me, the smart money is buying stock in Twitter.
Yes.
Seriously, Twitter is the future. There'll never be a world where Twitter doesn't make money. If you can get it on the ground floor, you'll be set for life, Bean. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me that. I wish I could remember who that was.
Well, that's why you're retiring.
They were very excited for you, though.
I am retiring despite all the money I think I owe my Twitter stock.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did go all in on Twitter, feeling like there was no way it was. Look, the president is on it. How can it not make money? Needless to say, it hasn't made a dime. Needless to say, I'm still down like thousands of dollars on Twitter.
You're a loser.
Indeed. So we've all been given bad advice, I think, is what we're taking. So 1-800-520-1067. What's the bad advice that you were given by somebody who didn't know any better? They were trying to help, but they kind of steered you wrong. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Weezer, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Alex in Los Angeles. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning.
We are talking about you took some bad advice. What was it?
So I actually gave bad advice.
Yes!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I told a friend who was going on a first date that it would be a really good idea to pull her car over in a back alley, pop in the back seat, and hook up to Back That Ass Up by Juvenile.
So wait, when is the bad advice?
Real, that's a solid plan.
All good
far.
So far.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she came back and she was like a very innocent person. And she was like, Alex, I felt really slutty. And I don't think the guy ever wants to see me again.
Oh, Well, that's all on the guy, though. That's his problem. The girl did the right thing.
Sure.
We're saying that was good advice by
you. Good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't make all your friends heroes. You know what I mean? You can only suggest it.
Alex, was your friend you? You can tell us.
Yeah. Let us know.
No, I mean, obviously I would have given myself this advice if I could have, but I wasn't getting any dates.
Thank you,
well,
Alex.
You keep doing what you're doing, Alex. We appreciate
Alex,
you so much.
You're an American hero.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. What bad advice were you given, and did you follow it? Then what happened? We want to take your calls after Weezer, next on K-Rock. People are well-meaning. They're trying to give you some good advice, but you take it, and it turns out that it was wrong, wrong, wrong. You know, there was a guy on the radio once who said, if it's raining, you should speed up. You should drive as fast as possible because that way you're on the road for less time. You remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy's very logical.
Yeah.
That is the same guy that the 626 is calling out. Some guy on the radio once told me I should, during a presidential election, vote for comedy. Well, I did. And that guy won. Thanks, Kevin.
That guy also tells you to get as fat as possible before your wedding.
Listen.
The pictures,
this is great advice.
Are you at your worst?
This is great advice. You put up the pictures, and for the rest of your life, people go, you look great.
Yeah, you lost a lot of weight.
Because they look at your wedding picture and they see that you're a little overweight.
Three examples in less than 30 seconds of you being horrible with advice.
Off the top of your
horrible.
Head.
Horrible.
I mean, really, really strong advice is what I'm saying.
That voting for comedy, we're past that now, though, right?
Yeah, of course.
We're not going to do that anymore. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's try, Riley, Huntington Beach, please. Line 7 up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show this segment.
Hey, Riley.
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning. Love the show.
Thank you.
So, worst advice I've ever received. I obviously didn't take it, but we're at a Christmas party. Me and my girlfriend at the time, all of our families at the Christmas party in Newport Beach at the Balboa Boat Parade. And I'm kind of telling people, hey, I'm getting ready to propose to my wife. I want to marry her. So I tell my dad, and this is a man that's had two divorces. It's just not a... not all there on the relationship savvy stuff, but he goes, "Hey, son, I'm happy for you." And I tell him what size ring I'm buying my wife, because I'm super stoked and working hard to get her the ring. And he goes, no, son, you don't buy that 2-carat ring for your wife. You take that ring back, you get her a 0.5-carat, and then after 10 years, when she makes it to 10 years, you give her a 1-carat. And if you can get past 10 years, wow, maybe bump it up to 1.5 carats.
When she makes it 10 years.
Well, so divorced twice?
He didn't go to 2 carats. No. He said go to 1.5 at that point.
Your dad's been divorced
twice?
Never
do 2 carats. That's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why your dad isn't working out with the ladies.
Yeah. I mean, I see he was just trying to save you some money,
sure,
but it doesn't make the powerful impact that you're hoping right from the start. I get where your complaint is there. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Leo Rosemead, please. Up next, line 4 on K-Rock.
Yeah, so this is the great advice section, right? But it's
great advice, yes.
And mine was pretty bad. Yeah, me and my girlfriend at the time, we were having a good time in the bedroom until we didn't. She told me to put Icy Hot down there, you know?
She hated you,
Leo.
Dude.
Leo!
She hated you.
Yeah, I was like, no, she's like, no. My best friend tried it with her boyfriend, you know, and I'm like, well, wouldn't it, I don't know, you know, wouldn't I put it on the penile area, if anything, if the ball's a sensitive area, you know, and I don't know. She's like, I swear, no. She said it feels great.
Did you do it?
It was awesome.
Did you do it?
And I was just like, I don't know. And
did you do it?
It took about to convince me, and I did it.
Yeah.
And I did it, and it was about a couple minutes. I was like, it's okay. I said, 10 minutes. Oh, I don't know if it's going to hurt. Oh, 2 hours later, like for 2 hours,
I don't need to hear that noise.
Like the reenactment.
Wait, did it go good or bad? Now I'm trying to figure out. That sounded like a good noise.
Very good.
Oh, it was good.
No, it's awful.
Okay.
It was awful.
Okay. Came home and they were like, "What's wrong with them?" He's like, and she was laughing. I could hear her laughing. I'm like, "Are you laughing? Are you like?"
She's a keeper.
She goes, no, I swear. It was a joke.
Still sounds like he's finishing every time.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm
it sounds
sure.
good.
He had a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like he's winning.
Good or bad.
That isn't good for you.
Huh. Is there anything you could dunk it in to relieve the pain or
dunk it in?
Like milk?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Allie, it was milk.
Well, all right. Things burn. Like, yeah, you're supposed to drink milk.
Now he leaves a glass of milk on his side table every night, just in case.
He loved it, right? That's what it sounded like
I'm
to me.
Still not sure.
I'm not sure either.
Every time he said it, and then a couple hours later, I was like, oh.
Right.
Every time he gave like a cool sound.
David Covina, line 1. I'm next on K-Rock. David.
Hey, David.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What happened to your junk?
That's not the topic.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I took some advice from a friend's dad in high school in track, and he was telling me how to run. So he was like, move your arms like you're banging the drums and then throw your hands back. What? And it was really confusing. But his son's super fast, so I took it, and I was running the race, and I was doing terrible, and I could hear my coach yelling, David, what are you doing? And so finally, I'm like, F this. I'm going to run the way I normally run, and I did a little better. And then so I spoke to my friend after the race. I'm like, hey, I took some of your dad's advice. I really didn't understand it. And he goes, yeah, that's why I hate my dad.
Oh, my gosh. It's got dark.
He's running like he's going to see them aliens, man.
Yeah, he went Naruto or whatever.
I hate my dad.
Would you run with Eric and Lyle Menendez?
Jen Sturger and Cody Decker. My voice is getting worse, by the way. I'm sorry to say.
You really choked up when you guys come in.
Thank you
very
so much.
Emotional.
We missed you, too.
I'm very sick. Our swings and misses, they do a sports show from 10 to 1 on radio.com. That's the same app you can stream the Kevin and Mean Show on, and you can also listen to the podcast as well. They join us Monday mornings to recap the weekend that was in sports. I mean, we have to start with Chargers get a Charger because the former San Diego team has now lost more games this year than they lost all of last year, and they lost it in the most incredible way ever. How would you explain the last 3 minutes of that Chargers game yesterday,
guys? 3 minutes. It could have come down to the last 45 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like overturned touchdown, 2 overturned touchdowns.
So they score a touchdown, they think they win.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Their social media team was even like, yes, we did it. And then they were like, Overturned.
Overturned.
They're just quote tweeting themselves. Overturned. Oh, straight mouth face.
I mean,
oh, God.
If you're a real Chargers fan, you should actually be really excited because technically, in your head, you won that game three times.
Uh-huh. You should feel good about that.
Yeah, you should.
It doesn't count.
No. Technically, it's a big old goose egg again. Yeah, it's an L.
Agreed.
Oh, no, no. I'm loving this. This is the greatest thing ever.
because you're a Raiders fan.
I'm a Raiders fan. Yeah. And if football season, if football games were 15 minutes, the Raiders just beat the Packers yesterday. And we're 4-2, baby.
Sad way of looking. Wow. Cody is so good at finding the bright side of his sports team. I feel like that's the only thing that's kept him in the game.
4-2, baby.
What is it like mentally for the Chargers to score two touchdowns in the last minute and still lose?
I mean, as an athlete, you got to look at that. That's just got to be. It's got to break your back a little bit. How's a coach? Are you going to keep that team together? You know,
you think that has long-term consequences?
I absolutely can. I mean, every game early in the season could always have long-term consequences. But a game like that, when your team is skidding the way they are, that might have killed them.
They've turned the ball over five times now in goal situations.
All right.
So wow.
That's pretty insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's bad, yeah.
That's very bad.
That's very bad. That's very bad.
It's not good.
I love your technical analysis.
Thank you,
over there.
I'm a sports expert.
What's the issue with them? Why do you think this is happening? Same team as last year, right? For the most part.
I think they're just aging out. I think it's come to the point where they need to make some better draft picks and make some more splashy picks, possibly. And, you know, I think they missed their window, quite honestly. And now that the Chiefs are going to basically dominate that division for the next 5 years, and the Raiders are actually up and coming, the Chargers need to kind of take a step back and rebuild.
But they fooled me, too. Like, I was still in with the Chargers. I still thought they had a chance. I even picked them in my football picks this week.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, Tennessee, you know, they're going to be finding their rhythm with Tannehill. And then this happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I picked them, too, and I will never make that mistake again.
We don't think our producer, Ann, who's a diehard Charger, I don't think she's showing up for work.
Yeah, she probably should stay home.
That's a tough one.
Yeah. She'll probably come, show up, leave, and then just leave.
Oh, yeah.
Probably three times.
Meanwhile, though, the Rams feel like they may have, and their fans may feel like they have saved their season this year after the skid that they have been on to finally win against a, you know, granted, not hard to beat team, the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd love to say the Rams are back, it was the Falcons.
Was the Falcons being bad?
The Falcons are terrible this year. They are just really, really bad. Getting Jalen was a hell of a pickup.
Yeah, that was a great pickup.
But what they gave up for him, I honestly think the Jacksonville Jaguars are thieves. They literally took...
Really?
They basically pilfered the Rams' future. So if this doesn't work...
Rams had to do that in order to show their fans, like, look, we're committed to winning now.
And he's like, yeah, we're serious. We're serious, but...
We're so serious, we're going to risk our future for it.
you know, you watch golf. Golf had a better game yesterday, but, you had Gurley back, and Gurley is still not 100%, but once you see...
He doesn't look 100% yet, and it's just... I don't know why they're risking playing him and injuring him further. It's like we can find other ways to win. They could have restructured the offense by now.
Yeah, they could have run that game without Todd Gurley, give him an extra week and won, because it's the Falcons. It was that was barely a win.
So the Rams are not turning everything around yet.
We'll see. I mean, it's too early to tell.
Maybe started.
It might have been.
Yeah,
it might have been the start of something.
Upward, at least.
Okay. And you know, again, Jalen Ramsey is a defensive game changer. So amazing.
He wasn't even at 100%. He admitted that because he's been out for weeks now with air quotes injuries and also paternity leave. So between those two things, like, I don't feel, he even said it. He's like, if I was playing at my best, he's like,
you don't really want to hear that from an athlete.
No.
But he was like, you know, once I hit my stride, he goes, if I had gone out there and played like my hardest, he's like, you would have known it. It would have been ugly out there.
I wish I could have said.
I was going to say, it's how we feel about this show.
Yeah.
One day we'll hit our stride. It's going to be ugly.
Dave asked the question, by the way. Jalen had a $20 bill taped to his pads. Why?
I have no idea. He had a $20 bill taped to his pads?
That's what Dave says. Dave, do you know any more?
I do not. I just noticed it when he was unstrapping. It was there, and I was confused as why.
Huh. Maybe he had a bet with somebody. I don't know.
Maybe that's how the Rams are paying him.
Maybe. he doesn't have...
Seems weird.
Yeah, he didn't get an extension yet.
Normally,
so
you get stickers on your helmet when you do something good, you know?
You give you a nice $20.
They're just going to keep strapping money to him.
Okay, all right.
Eventually, it'll weigh
him
down.
I don't need it.
No. We need to mention, especially with you, Cody, being an ex-pro ball player, that it is finally World Series time starting tomorrow night.
I'm so glad you guys noticed.
you have been saying all along that whoever wins in the National League is going to just run into the buzzsaw that is the Houston Astros, and you have an opportunity to be proven right here.
Yes, I do. My pick before the World Series, my pick before playoffs was Nationals-Astros. And if the Nationals didn't make it, it wouldn't have mattered. Anyone that goes to the World Series just has the honor of getting swept by Houston.
They're that much better.
They are the best baseball team I have ever watched on a baseball game.
Wow.
They are so good. They seem unbeatable. And the Yankees did swipe away two wins on them. So, I mean, the Nationals have an incredible starting staff. I think this is going to be a great pitcher-heavy series. The only problem is the Nationals right now are going to get – they're going to get to their bullpen. And once that happens, Houston's going to score 20.
but let's be clear, Cody was really feeling himself.
Yeah, it was.
After this tweet he put out the other day social media.
Tell us your prediction.
This was 1 minute before Altuve hit a home run, the walk-off home run, and this got me more death threats from Yankee fans I ever got.
By the way, Kevin, I know you always mock baseball, that this was the classic bottom of the ninth, two outs, walk-off home run to get to the World Series.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
So I said the only thing that would give me more joy than Osuna giving up that game-tying home run in the ninth would be Chapman giving up a walk-off home run right now. Please happen.
And how long after that did he hit it?
Roughly a minute and 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I went absolutely nuts. It was the best. And, I mean, what can I say? I am literally the best that there is in my field.
Okay.
And I'm proving it right now.
Seriously.
All I'm doing is proving it nonstop.
The only thing
playoffs.
Cody enjoys more than winning is being right.
Yeah.
I'm doing both.
This is the longest the Yankees have been without going to a World Series in 100 years, you guys. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean,
they were literally
amazing. And they won 103 games. So
honestly,
it's not like they sucked.
The Yankees losing is my World Series.
Yes.
It's my Super Bowl. It's my Christmas. It's my everything.
For me,
and what a beautiful, beautiful night.
Oh, it's so great. It's not because I hate the Yankees. It's because I despise Yankee fans. So watching that night, the meltdowns on social media
is just enjoyable.
There's just no better feeling in the world than watching the pain of a Yankee fan.
Why don't Yankee fans ever bring up 27?
Oh, my God, it's all they do. No matter what, they're like, 27. Oh, we got 27.
Yeah, 27 rings, bro, like you were on the team. What number were you wearing?
Last time I checked, those were like in the 30s and the 40s.
Yep.
Those weren't recently, you guys. Sit down.
How many games, Cody? What's your prediction?
I'm going to say five.
I think it'll be
the Astros in five.
Fantastic.
I think they'll snipe away one win, and I hope they do it at home. But that's about it.
Really quick, just so you know, Jalen Ramsey wears a $20 bill on his back plate. He's been doing it under his pads since college because he wears number 20 and he's money on the field.
Oh. All right.
Money on the field.
Okay. I officially hate Jalen Ramsey.
We are all dumber for knowing that.
Someone's gone bye-bye.
Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on radio.com/sports, or you can just search the word swings on the radio.com app. And, of course, the daily podcast is available wherever you find yours as well. Jen and Cody, thank you so much. We'll do it again next week. Appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Very special guests joining us in studio coming up after 9 a.m.
We don't know, guests.
Oh, it could be either one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm counting three, but I mean, it could just be guests. Could just be one person, I guess. Three or fewer or more. We don't know. Special guests are going to be joining us with a big announcement coming up right after the top of the
hour. We know. Okay.
Well, we can't tell you, but we can tell you after 9 a.m. Not only that, we will reveal the winner of the Halloween song poll that we do every morning in the month of Rocktober on the Twitter account of @KevinAndBean. Your choices this morning, if you want to cast your vote before they close, are The Specials Ghost Town. This town is coming like a ghost town. I mean, come on. How great is that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Currently only at 47% of the vote. Right now in the lead with 53% of the vote. Unless there's some last-minute specials voting going on is DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. And everything seemed all right when we left. But when I got home and laid down.
down to sleep.
We can overrule it, right?
Nightmare on my street.
That's the part I hate. On my street.
You can't overturn the will of the people.
I mean, we could.
You can't.
We could just lie and say that it won.
Well, unfortunately, you can.
Sorry, the specials won.
Uh-huh. You can actually see the votes on the Twitter. So anyway, cast your vote at Kevin and Bean right now. Specials or DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, and we'll be playing that. Plus, did I mention special guest or guests? Coming up right after 9 a.m. First, Allie's here with What's Happening on a Monday.
You guys know that I'm a little bit obsessed with this ventriloquist doll named Ricky.
Oh, a little bit.
Way too much.
A little bit.
Way too much.
Listen.
Out of proportion.
Ricky's face in this one picture that I have, he's just side-eyeing the camera, and he is such a sassy little bitch. Hmm. And I love it so much. So I posted a ton on my stories, which has people very concerned that I'm, like, into ventriloquism, and that's, like, my jam now, which it could be. That could be my kink.
Yeah, no shame.
But now I'm starting to rethink posting Ricky all the time.
Why?
There's a man named Michael Diamond, not the Smell Good Plumber. Just a man named Michael Diamond that says...
Is he in the Beastie Boys? Mm-hmm.
Nope. He was recently gifted an antique ventriloquist doll that was made by a prisoner in World War II in a camp.
Yeah, this is a horror movie.
Oh, wait. Diamond noticed that the glass cabinet that he was keeping the ventriloquist in kept opening up. So he set up a GoPro camera to film it during the night. He caught footage of the door of the cabinet opening and the mouth and the eyes of the dummy moving.
Love it.
You guys, I love it so much. He says he's not scared of him. He named him Mr. Fritz, but admitted that he's pretty wary of it and now keeps it locked away in a room full of other collector's items. This just in, a lock is not going to hold Mr. Fritz back.
Right? Also, what other things does he have? Like a tiki god that gives bad luck to people. I mean, have other bad luck things?
I don't know.
I would throw this out in a second.
Oh,
this would be in the wood chipper.
I would invite Mr. Fritz into my home with open arms.
No.
Whatever Mr. Fritz wants, Mr. Fritz gets.
All right.
You guys, I might be obsessed with ventriloquists that are haunted. It's kind of my thing.
It is kind of your jam.
What I'm into right now. You know what I'm not into? People not letting other people enjoy what they enjoy. Just, you can have an opinion about something, that's fine. But when you start just talking about it all the time, and then that just is what everyone's discussing, like, oh, this can't happen because it's bad. No, I like it. It's good. Shut up. Let people enjoy things. That whole thing with Scorsese talking about Marvel, and it's not cinema, and it's dumb. It's like a theme park. Well, now we have to ask every director that's ever directed a movie what he or she thinks.
I mean, we don't.
We don't. But as soon as people found out that a man named Francis Ford Coppola had thoughts, my God, that dominated everything this
weekend.
Well,
what the hell does he know about movies?
Well, the Godfather director joined in the Martin Scorsese versus Marvel debate, and he, shockingly, definitely on Team Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what he wound up saying. He said, when Martin Scorsese says that Marvel Pictures are not cinema, he's right, because we expect to learn something from cinema. We expect to gain something, some enlightenment, some knowledge, some inspiration. I don't know that anyone gets anything out of seeing the same movie over and over.
Another person who hasn't seen these movies.
He then says, Martin was kind when he said it's not cinema. He didn't say it's despicable, which I say it is.
Whoa.
Oh my God! Calm your teas.
That is not a good take.
These are movies that make people happy. Let them make people happy.
He made Tucker Man of His Dreams, which is a very bad movie. So I stand by the idea that he shouldn't be the one going front and center. Scorsese, I believe in. Like, you hear that and you're like, oh, that dude knows what he's talking about.
But still.
What about Jack?
Let him think that. You don't have to ask everybody. You're all good.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to hate on Francis Ford Coppola after not only The Godfather, but Apocalypse Now.
I know. There's great stuff. But it's been a long time, too, man.
And The Conversation, by the way.
Godfather 3, Tucker Man and His Dreams. Batteries Not Included, I think.
I'm just saying he's just wrong, because not every movie has to be for everybody. So if it's not his taste, so what?
Agreed.
Right.
Lots of other people can love those movies, and that doesn't mean they're not great.
Do we need to hear from every single director now?
I'd like to hear from all the olds. Ask all the old directors. They'll have the same exact answer. It's too loud! Get off my lawn!
It's true.
Too much Thanos.
Yeah.
Mm. He's the one that looks like a bunch of pebbles all together, right?
Yes. That is the official description.
Stony bro.
Do we need all of that?
Well, apparently not a lot of people going to see Disney's Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Although it did top the box office this weekend. Relatively soft opening at $36 million. But just to let you know, by comparison, the original, $69
million. Nice.
By the way, budget for this movie that made $36 million? Mm-hmm. $185 million. That doesn't sound great. But had a much better showing overseas. So, I mean, so that's maybe it's good. Fine. So maybe we'll be fine.
And I'm also going to say that these Disney movies, mm-hmm. is it Disney?
Sure.
Have a long tail. You know what I mean? They make money. Right. But they make money for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Maleficent is going to be fine in the long run, for sure. Coming in second, Joker in its third week made another $29 million. Third, Zombieland Double Tap, which was a debut at $26.7 million. Fourth, The Addams Family, and rounding out the top five, Gemini Man. Who's with me? Gemini Man. Anyone?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Jake Gyllenhaal, just being all cool, saving dogs from intersections, just what he does. He was in New York City on Thursday morning, spotted an enormous Dalmatian standing terrified in the middle of a busy intersection. The dog was on a leash, but had gotten away from its owner, who was too small. This is a very judgy article. The owner was just too small to have such a bitchin' dog. Gyllenhaal, who's well known as a dog lover, according to this article. Again, no more info. He left the woman he was walking with, stepped into the ongoing traffic, bringing cars to a standstill. That's the kind of power that Jake Gyllenhaal
basically
commands.
Basically, he just walked out into the moving traffic.
He should have gotten a ticket. Mm-hmm. He calmed down the dog, led the person back to the dog, led the dog to safety. Everything's fine. Witnesses say that the actor even took a moment to talk to the terrified dog owner about different types of leashes that might prevent similar situations.
Plus, grow.
I feel like, A, you need to grow, and B, let me mansplain why your leash didn't work. F you, Jake Gyllenhaal. Right? Is that the takeaway? Screw
I don't
him.
Think that's the takeaway, no.
No. Thank you.
Seemed pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jake, for saving that dog. Some birthdays for you. Andrew Scott, he's the hot priest from Fleabag. Amber Rose, Ken Watanabe, and Judge Judy.
So you get Zippo, nada.
But it's your birthday, so you should be getting something.
All right, let's announce the worst kept secret of all time, shall we?
Mm-hmm. No, that's not.
That's nope. it. There
I
it
mean,
is.
Is it Halloween? Is it Halloween related?
Nope, yes.
I think Halloween related needs a Halloween theme.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
I can't do this song.
Ghostly things are gonna happen.
This is
a
bop.
We have a mystery finger snapper, too.
Sing it if you know it.
Sing it if you know it. Sing if you know it, guys.
No one knows it. All right, that's good. That's a good thing to get us into the announcement.
Hang on.
I wish that the children could see.
Here we go.
But I can't find them for the life of me. And as Halloween spooks outside my windowpane.
All right, it is the most wonderful time of the year, Kevin. It is Halloween time. What do you have to tell us?
The K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball is happening this Saturday at the Fonda Theater. Mm-hmm. You could win $5,000.
What?
And a TCL TV if you win the costume contest.
Whoa. Holy moly.
And we have some entertainment that we think you might like, and that would be Blink-182, who joined us in the studio right now.
Oh, my goodness! Holy moly!
Gosh.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
I had no idea.
Right?
By the way,
this is shocking.
Off mic, after Halloween spooks, Skiba just went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You like that song?
It was actually... Wow.
Wow. Okay. Excellent.
It's a bop, right?
It's not a bop. I can't stand it.
It's a bop.
I love the hi-hat.
Yeah.
That's your takeaway from that song?
Yeah. Guys, you are playing the Fonda on this Saturday, October the 26th, for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. That's awesome.
It is awesome. You're welcome.
How do you guys feel about, I'm sure you've had multiple Halloween shows over the years. Is it a fun night for you to play on Halloween?
Have you?
I don't know that we've played. I'm sure we have played on Halloween, but we must not have done anything rad because none of us remember anything cool about it. Most of the time, I think we were home because we normally tour during the summers and during the spring and things like that. So I remember being home.
Travis, you ever play on Halloween?
I think close to Halloween, like the day before, yeah, or yeah, stuff like that, but never never on Halloween.
Never like a costumed performance?
Mm-mm. Not, no, uh-uh.
All right.
What about,
are we eligible
Halloween
to win the $5,000 if I, yes, really go all out?
Yeah. If you have a great costume, I don't see why you
I
wouldn't
do.
Be.
Oh, my God. I mean, can I tell you what, please, my costume is?
Please.
I'm going to take two Post-it notes. Okay. I'm going to write, always tired, put them under my eyes, and I'm Post-it Malone.
Yeah! That is amazing. Oh, my God.
Wow. Give him the money now. Just give that's him the money now. Question. Why do we have to go through a contest?
You really thought that through. I like it.
Yeah. Good. I've been waiting to bust that out forever. I was going to do it on Twitter, but then it just seemed like the right moment.
Have you guys ever taken advantage of Halloween being a day where celebrities can be anonymous and worn a costume to some place where people didn't know who you were?
No. Really? I want to get one of those super lifelike faces of my own face, but it's obviously a mask, and then walk around
so people
as somebody
think
trying to be myself.
Acting like Mark, yes, but they're not.
I've
I
had
like
way too much
think
coffee already today. I'm sorry.
You are really jacked
I'm
up.
I'm sweating right now.
He's been holding that Post Malone joke for weeks. Finally got it out.
The release of my Post Malone joke. My God.
Down at Comic-Con, you know, you'll see like Mark Hamill or somebody will put on a costume, and then that way they can walk around the floor and not have everybody bug him or something like that. I feel like this would be a perfect night for you guys to be able to do anything you want.
I've actually done it.
You have?
Oh, you have. You,
Travis
Playboy
has, yes.
At the Playboy Mansion, we dressed up like the bad guys from Karate Kid, and we wreaked havoc. I got away with so much.
It has to be so fun to not be recognized.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah.
I just don't get recognized. It's easy.
All right.
So here's the deal. So just announced the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with Blink-182 is going to be this Saturday at the Fonda. You cannot buy tickets.
Nope.
They are not for sale. This is a great venue for
Blink-182. How are we going to get people in then?
Well, it's interesting you, ooh, should say that, Kevin. There are two ways. You can call K-Rock anytime you hear a song by Blink-182, which, as you know, if you listen to this radio station, is about every 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And caller 20 wins a pair of passes to the costume ball. And there's an additional chance to win at krock.com. So two different chances to win. So we'll be giving away all week long here throughout the day on K-Rock. So it's a pretty good deal. We play a lot of Blink.
We do, yes.
A lot of ways in.
Every single time you hear a song from Blink, be caller 20, and you'll get tickets. And then, yes, you can see Mark's great costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that starts right now, so we could be playing a Blink-182 song at any time, including 10 minutes from now when we will be playing a Blink-182 song.
Yeah, right. But make it clear, it's a Blink-182 song. So not any time you hear Blink, because if they start talking, technically someone could win.
Okay. Right.
What?
A song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Exactly. Technicalities.
Yeah.
So you guys are off the road now, right? You're done.
Yeah. Well, we just finished a very long tour, and then Matt and I were over in Europe for the past week to impress there, and we just got back day before yesterday, and now we're here today.
I was surprised to see the British TV still trying to figure out how to say your name.
Yes.
Oh, I thought that was 10 years ago, 15
years
ago. Yeah, 20 years ago.
It's a very lazy question to have us fly all the way to the UK and ask us, is it Blink-182 or Blink-182?
Yeah. I was like, why are they asking that question now? Hasn't it been asked and answered about 6 billion times?
It has, and I'm really glad we're taking the time today to go over that question.
Good we brought it up. We have to know, you guys, and now that it's done, the truth can be told. How much of a nightmare was Lil Wayne?
Zero nightmare.
Yeah,
come
not
on.
Not a nightmare at all.
He was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
I know you guys are friends with him and stuff, but I mean, not knowing night to night whether he was going to show, wasn't that frustrating?
No, not at all.
Was it like that?
He was awesome. His band is amazing. His whole crew, everybody. It was so fun all summer long.
Was it frustrating when he couldn't show up?
No.
No, well, it was always excusable, too. Like, you know, like, sometimes he would hit me and he'd be like, hey, I'm about to let everyone else know I can't make it to the show. This and that's going on. But it's usually to protect himself and his freedom, you know, or like if you're in a state and the cops start like tailing you everywhere and you're going to get like pinched for smoking weed, it's just not worth it, you know?
So there were some things
going
on. There were some things going on with Lil Wayne that we were not privy to. That made a lot more sense to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's so solid, and he's such a professional. He killed it every night. The one day where he walked off stage, he had said, I just felt like they didn't like me, so I walked off stage. Like, I didn't want to put him through it. I wanted you guys to be able to get on and do your thing.
Oh, so everybody was
The backstory
putting up with him so that they could get to you?
No, is that what he thought? No, here's what happened.
That's what he thought.
Yeah, he was really, it was insane. All of his shows were insane. So.
And on the, on that particular day, it was crazy. I mean, the storm was coming in so crazy that it was an amphitheater, and the wind was blowing the rain sideways across all the seats through the whole thing. Oof. We didn't even know if the show was going to come on. They were considering canceling the show because of lightning, all this stuff. So people weren't even showing up until way after doors. And so when Wayne walked on stage, it was probably, what, quarter full? Like, people were still coming in.
4,000 people in the parking lot.
Yeah, it was it was a strange situation. So, I mean, even that day, like, you know, he just walked off stage saying, like, this show's not fun. I want to, you know, not be on stage right now. But it wasn't ever an issue.
Yeah, no, he was solid. He was super
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's awesome. Because, you know, we were so excited when the thing was announced because it's, you know, it's the way people listen to and like music these days is a wide variety. And we thought there'd be a lot of crossover between your fans, and that turned out to be the case most nights, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when he came out and performed with us, it was like...
Yeah, and the press was of about issues or whatever were a couple nights, but you guys went out with him for a bunch of shows.
I mean, we left June, like middle of June, and came back end of September. Yeah. And I mean, there were three issues on the whole tour, and one of them was like he could not even get to the venue. One was he left because the cops were after him, and one was the one where he walked off stage because there was a storm. And
I'm not gonna lie, I love that he left because the cops were after him. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I have an oil painting of Lil Wayne in my living room. I love the dude, so I'm happy to hear that news. I'll tell you that.
And I'll tell you, every single fan sang every single word for all three bands. Neck Deep, Lil Wayne, Blink-182 was awesome the whole summer.
That's the way the world is now, and I'm glad.
Totally.
That's good.
That's a fun tour. All right, our favorites, you guys, Blink-182. Is it Blink-182?
Oh, you son of a bitch. I swear to God.
Are in studio with us. The K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball has just been announced for this Saturday at the Fonda Theater. You cannot buy tickets, but you can win them. Here's a hint. Anytime you hear us play a song by Blink-182, just be caller 20. I wonder what we'll play next on K-Rock right after this.
That is Blink-182. They are in the studio with us.
Hey, guys.
And I don't know if you noticed, they played the song, which now means that the calls can come in to win the tickets to the thing with the contest.
That's right.
We can say what the thing is. It's the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball.
That's the one.
Yes, this Saturday night, and Alfonso is caller 20. Good morning, Alfonso.
Hey, what's going on, party people?
You're the only person with tickets at this point.
No way.
Enjoy your private show.
No way. It's so awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're happy to have you Saturday night at the Fonda. Anything you want to say to the boys since you're on the phone with Blink-182?
Hey, guys. I've been a very, very long time fan. I'm so excited to see you guys here for the very, very first time from one reason or another, babies and all.
Awesome.
I'm very, very excited to see you guys on Saturday.
Thank you. What's going to be your costume?
You know what? I'm actually dressing up as Chewbacca. I just had a newborn, and he's going to be R2-D2. So,
awesome. Nice. That's great.
Let's hear your Chewbacca.
I'm sorry?
Let's hear your Chewbacca impression.
I can't.
Perfect.
Hey, it's like I'm in the movie.
I think that was the Icy Hot guy from earlier.
All right, Alfonso. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. We'll see you on Saturday, my friend. By the way, is anyone else concerned that he's going to put his newborn into a tin can and make his kid be R2-D2?
I respect it.
At our Halloween costume ball?
A little bit nervous about that.
Oh, I didn't think he was going to bring the kid to the ball.
I didn't take it as that
either. That's what he said.
No, that's just his costume
That's his
for
costume
Halloween.
For Halloween.
Okay. Yeah,
because he didn't get two tickets, did he? He's coming alone.
No, he got two.
He got two tickets.
Bring the kid, man.
Bringing the kid.
Bring the kid and the tin can.
I wouldn't bring that.
Is a new? Oh, does a newborn baby count as a plus one?
It should.
I think so. It's a human.
Because you can fly with a newborn baby, and it doesn't. You don't have to buy a ticket for it.
That's true.
Yeah.
We haven't thought
through emotional support baby.
We haven't thought through the whole baby issue.
An emotional support baby.
This is truly a loophole because you're going to look out in the audience and see 500 people with babies in their arms just rocking out.
Is it weird to think, you guys, that he, Alfonso, who apparently is a big fan of yours, has never seen you before? You play every night when you go out there to somebody who's their first ever Blink-182 concert.
That does
kind of weird,
even in Southern California.
I think that's awesome. That's like new fans or, you know, people that haven't seen us before.
Or they've been fans for a long time, but he said, oh, babies and everything else. There's just no way he needs to stop having babies.
I feel like it was a humble brag.
Oh,
he's like,
was.
I've been busy having so many kids because my sperm works.
Look how much sex I'm
that's
having.
How I heard it. Yeah, enough,
humble
Alfonso.
Brag, all right.
We just played that song, I Really Wish I Hated You, from the new Blink-182 album called The Nine. Allie's already bitching about there not being another record by now.
Yeah.
Because this one's been out a month. month. How has it been received around the world, guys?
Really good. The reception's been awesome. Mm-hmm. We honestly couldn't have asked for better. All the general consensus is that, wow, this is really different and really cool, which is what we were trying to go for, so we feel vindicated.
It did not have the title that we expect from Blink-182 albums. And I know that you must spend a lot of time thinking about your titles. How did you end up on 9?
We were throwing out really raunchy,
yeah,
super gnarly titles. And then,
like one you had to read backwards, right?
Yeah.
Bosmere.
That was my
favorite. Bosmere was my favorite.
Yeah, mine too.
Mark wasn't feeling it.
I don't know. I wasn't looking back on that as an older man. I don't think that I don't think I would have aged as well.
All right. Really.
That phase of my life.
9 was cool.
That's
though.
Sad.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes. We were actually on the phone. We were talking, and we kept going back and forth with all these like kind of fun, silly names. And then I think I called Mark on a whim, and I was like, "What do you think about naming it like a number, like whatever number album this is?" And then
he's like, "No, that's a lot simpler."
Yeah.
And we had a little internal debate, like, "Well, is this really our 8th record or our 9th record?" Because you didn't count the Buddha album, which was technically a demo, but then came out, or the live album, or the greatest hits, or blah, blah. But we just like the number 9.
You could have just called it 8, 9, or 10.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We're not sure.
No, we're going. This is our 9th studio album.
Okay.
All right.
Fix Wikipedia.
It'll be fixed now for sure.
Yes.
Trust me.
How many times do you guys read stuff or hear stuff that's on Wikipedia or someplace else that's just absurd?
Or wrong.
Yeah, not that often, because I don't really Wikipedia myself
too often.
No. Yeah, I haven't looked at that. I'm sure it has some false things
anything
on there.
That I can change, I wouldn't trust. Yeah. That's all I know. If I can change it.
What, like, teenage TV show were you on, Mark? Like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No, I was on one called Haunted. It was with, Matthew Fox, where he was a ex-detective who could see ghosts, and now he was like a private detective who could see supernatural.
Is that the one that you did the remake for? Song?
No. He was just like an actor.
I was an actor on it.
He played one of the ghosts.
I played a ghost. Look it up. It's called Haunted. It is the worst acting you've ever seen in your life. Literally, the day that I was shooting my things, they had to redo it so many times, retake, that the camera focus assistant was like, oh my God.
Mark is a great guy, an incredible musician, but I can say to his face, not good at acting.
Not good at acting.
This is not a good acting debut.
Was your fault that they had to keep starting in?
Yeah, and it was a gnarly scene where Matthew Fox wakes up, and he wakes up from a car crash, and my wife breaks down crying talking to him, and he's like, you have to get your daughter out of here, all this stuff. And I come in and I'm like, people drive too damn fast on that road, and I just blow the line. And they would go cut, and she would have to totally recompose herself, go back in, do the scene, break down crying, and I walk in, blow my line, cut, Mark, Jesus Christ, Mark, what are you doing?
Mark, it must have been really bad because the video has been made private and unavailable
on
YouTube.
God.
Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Oh, you can get anything on YouTube.
It's so upsetting.
And you're like translucent. You're like,
oh my God.
Ooh.
And then the awful thing was that the first day, I did great on my scene. I get an argument with my wife and this whole thing, and people were like, oh my God, have you been taking acting lessons? And I'm like, no, I just, put myself in the place of what I think this would feel like. And I go back the next day and just suck. It was terrible.
No roles after that, really.
No, uh-uh.
How old are you at this point?
I mean, I'm 31, probably.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm a grown man. I'm way too mature to suck this bad.
Yeah.
It's great.
Should have been better.
Just
for
need
sure.
to pick projects better, that's all.
Yeah.
Worth watching if you could.
Travis, we were talking off the air about your drum kit setup on this past tour.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was,
It's just drums aren't challenging enough for you, I think. So now it's just like,
now you gotta play upside down.
Let's spin them around.
No, I mean, they are. You know, even our shows where I don't do the drum solo, I try to think of something. Like, lately, I've been blindfolding. Like, he blindfolds me, put a towel over my head, and takes one of my drumsticks. Something, just to keep it interesting, you know? But
and then we go out and play.
Yeah.
That's just Mark's king.
With a gag.
Puts a bag over his head.
The gag was cool, though. It was fun.
Wow.
The gag was awesome. I mean, you don't understand the mechanic. This thing is built. It's this giant 5,000-pound mechanical device that spins and rotates. And, I mean, our crew worked so hard to put that thing up every day. We had to make sure the stage could.
Oh yeah,
I would just puke.
You know,
did you ever get sick?
It's one of those things where you're doing. I'm actually playing, but if I was just sitting in there and not playing, yeah, you would start to notice. Oh, I'm going upside down. Oh, I feel I'm about to fall out.
But if you're concentrating on the drums, you don't notice any of that.
Yeah, I just laser focus, close my eyes, and go crazy.
Close your eyes and go crazy. That's insane.
Amazing.
Yeah, during the shows now, I literally will like take a towel, drape it over his head so he can't see anything, and then at the end of the song, I'll take one of his drumsticks while he's actually in the middle of a solo.
And it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
No. I'm gonna jump onto his drum kit, Kurt Cobain style, one of these days.
Saturday night.
Yeah,
do it Saturday night.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, because our tour's done, so I can be in the hospital for a month and it won't matter.
Sure. I mean, hopefully it's not a hospital situation. Hopefully that's not the end. It's the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. It's this Saturday at the Fonda Theater. Every time you hear a Blink-182 song on K-Rock throughout the day, be caller 20 and you'll win tickets.
It's like when we play the song, like when it's entirely, not just like a snippet.
Not in a promo or something like that.
When you hear a full song.
Everyone there will be able to take part in the costume contest for a chance to win $5,000 and a brand new TCL TV. Mark Koppus says, bring your newborns to the show. Yeah. You'll have a great time.
They're free. You don't need a ticket for them. Right? Much like an airline, just bring them in. They'll let you go.
And I just learned something about emotional support babies. I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. So this has been very educational. Well, we have been champing at the bit to be able to make this announcement. So we're so excited that you guys are here today. And we can finally make the announcement with you guys that you are going to be doing the Halloween Costume Ball this Saturday night. We will see you there. We love you guys so much. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us. It's always a pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Am I caller 20? Was that Blink-182?
Am I caller 20?
Am I caller 20? Am I caller 20? Did I win?
Those Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's not Blink.
Okay, so every time we play Blink-182, that's when you're caller 20.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Love those guys, by the way.
Same.
They're the best.
Nice man.
Allie is here with our final look at what's happening on a Monday morning.
Whew. If this story is true, whoo!
So what you're saying, if I could recap.
Woo!
Woo!
A new Hollywood Reporter story claims that Jared Leto was so upset by Todd Phillips' new film Joker that he allegedly attempted to have his people kill the project. According to sources familiar with Jared Leto's behavior, when the Oscar-winning actor learned about the Phillips project, he not only complained bitterly to his agents at CAA, who also represent Todd Phillips, but he asked his then-music manager, Irving Azoff, to call the head of Warner's parent company and just have Warner Brothers kill it.
Wow. Say, wait, hold on a second. If I can't be the Joker, nobody can be the Joker?
Didn't he sign a deal where it's like he gets two more or something like that?
Yeah, he thought that maybe they weren't fighting hard enough for his own Joker project.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Did people not love his Joker in Suicide Squad?
No, but he did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't well received, loved as maybe people would have hoped. So that's a story making the rounds right now.
He doesn't sound chill.
Not in that story, no. Not so much. Mm-hmm. I don't love it. Guys, 1984. Chaka Khan has a career-revitalized smash hit Thank you, Chaka Khan. With the song I Feel For You. Track had already been covered on records by the Pointer Sisters, Rebe Jackson, and Prince's self-titled second album. But her version is the one that became a classic. However, before any of those versions existed, it was only an unreleased acoustic demo by Prince himself, who was just 20 years old at the time. So this was a song, came out in the winter of 1978, and on Friday morning, Prince's estate dropped the demo as a surprise release, and it is awesome. You want to hear Prince's take?
Yes.
The acoustic feel for I Feel For You. Sounds good.
He was very different in his early years.
Yeah.
He really matured into what we knew him as.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he was always able to play a bunch of instruments.
That's a cover of Queen with a hand farter.
That is not the real one.
Oh, that's the wrong
one. Thank you, Jensen. Go ahead.
It builds. It builds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like him.
No.
That doesn't sound like him at all, really.
No, I think it does sound like him. Here it This is a big drop. You know what?
That's just the that old was, Magic Mountain.
Yeah,
guy.
That was the Magic Mountain.
I believe, I believe I actually was in charge of bringing
in
the.
All right, go ahead.
You wanted the demo of Prince doing
yes,
I Feel
exactly.
For You.
Thank
the
you.
Song made famous by Chaka Khan.
Yeah,
I have it.
Thank you.
Hey now, you're an all star. Get your game on.
No, that's,
go
that's
play.
Not.
That's, hey now, you're a rock star.
That's not.
Get the
nope.
show on. Get paid.
That's not it?
That is Jensen singing that, and then we pitched his voice up. Mm-hmm. So, no, incorrect.
Well, you wanted the... Which?
I want the I Feel For You unreleased song, but they released it on Friday. It's a surprise release. Prince, he's 20. It's acoustic.
Okay,
it's amazing.
I have it.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That is Beer Mug singing... Oh. Incorrect words to the Lion King. So that is not it as well.
Okay. All right. I have it.
All right.
Go ahead.
Thank God.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 and boom, boom, boom. Just shake your rump.
Short song.
Wow. That's you just having an English accent doing
All right, let's hear the real one.
Stingy with the microphones there. Only one for the guitar.
I mean...
Can't mic him?
It was 1978. It was a demo.
It's
and
a demo, yeah.
We can't ask him now, Kevin. Are you happy?
You wow, drove
Kevin,
him to death.
Kevin is glad Prince is dead.
I mean, I'm not.
That's what I'm picking up.
I'm terrible.
Jeez. Just enjoy that we have a Prince demo of I Feel For You.
All right.
Right?
I will tell you that I am excited that we have heard that there are, you know, hundreds, maybe more.
Oh, vaults.
Unrecorded, unreleased music in mm-hmm. Prince's vaults. And I feel like he is one of those artists that a lot of that stuff is going to be worth hearing.
Yeah.
I really do. I feel like there's some gems in there.
A lot not worth hearing,
right?
Maybe.
Yeah,
that's
but
maybe
a lot so.
Of experimental jazz that goes on for 25 minutes that I don't want to hear.
That's the thing is that he did release a lot of albums, and there was a lot of, like, not
what
great.
You would call filler,
not
right?
Great. Yes, filler.
Yeah.
There's always that rumor. Although now that rumor has not aged well, but that he has a full album with Michael Jackson in his vault. That him and Michael did a song, like a whole record together.
Hmm.
Which now doesn't really live on, but good to think about.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is it.
Canceled.
This is really it. Why do I do that?
I'm not sure.
Guys, Coldplay seemingly teasing a new album in a letter that fans have been receiving in the mail. Guys, Coldplay is just mailing out letters.
The mail still works.
You know what I would do? I would assume that Chris Martin is writing these letters, right?
Sure.
And then he licks the envelope. I'm getting one of those steam openers, and I'm going to open it up, and then I'm going to take Chris Martin's DNA, and I'll clone him.
I can't find anything wrong with that plan.
Yeah, that doesn't...
We good?
You don't deserve a restraining order or anything.
Okay, cool.
No problem.
Just sounds
saying.
Solid.
Just saying. Who wants a Chris Martin? Selling him cheap.
What do you think, like, when they talk about experimental music, mm-hmm. like, is it going to be EDM or, like, Dave Matthews style?
Here's
or, like,
the
what's
thing.
Experimental to them?
A letter question. Sent to fans around the globe reveals mm-hmm. that the band will release a double album on November 22nd, split into two halves, Sunrise and Sunset. This has, of course, sparked speculation that the rumored experimental album is the one on the way.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
All right, well, we'll see what it is.
I'm in. Anytime you can get new Coldplay, I'm happy about it.
Oh, new Coldplay. I have a clip.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Already?
Yeah.
From
yeah.
the November 22nd
tease?
Release?
From the mail.
Tease.
From the mail.
Fantastic.
You got it in the mail.
Yeah, it's here it is.
Rabbit, do you know how rabbit
singing about the Rams.
That is crazy.
Right?
You know what? They sent me a different song.
Oh, you have something else?
Yeah, they sent me...
Wait, you have something from this album,
yeah,
November 22nd?
They must be sending fans different ones.
That is so cool.
Because this is the one I got.
Yeah.
How many shrimps do you have to eat before you make your skin turn pink?
This is a good
eat
part, but wait till it drops.
Oh, the drop.
Yeah, that's experimental. It's experimental.
Here it is. Hold on. Yeah.
I found a clip on Coldplay.com.
Whoa, so easy to find.
Yes, but it was a link.
Oh, okay.
It was a It was a Lincoln.
Oh, rest in peace.
You had to solve a math problem.
Okay.
And then you had to call a guy. Anyway, here's what my Coldplay song sounds like. I mean, I'm excited about that.
He's a great songwriter.
Coldplay with a new direction is good.
Good songwriter.
Oh, you want the new Coldplay?
Yes.
Oh, I have a clip.
Oh.
Come on.
Cheers. Oh, my God. Cheers. Cheers. Let's get some shifts. Let's get some shifts. These shifts rule. These shifts suck.
It's killing me that
these shoes rule.
Recently one of our friends told me, you know, my brother is the guy who made the shoes song.
Oh, really?
And it was like a friend of mine, and for some reason I forgot who it is. And I feel like if someone was like, oh, I could get you to meet Obama, and I was like, who was it that told me that? Like, I could meet the shoes dude. We could bring in the shoes dude.
Do we?
Why don't
need
you
that?
Google it?
I know.
And find out
his real name.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. See, that's why you get the big bucks.
Do we need that?
Liam Kyle Sullivan.
That didn't help anyone.
Well, who's his brother?
Supposed to help you.
Someone with the last name Sullivan?
I don't know.
We're not the ones that had a friend tell us his name.
I know. Okay. I'll figure it out.
All right.
I'm on it.
He's 46-year-old from Boston.
Hmm. Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Are we over that I have the song?
No, go ahead.
If you have the song.
Go ahead.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed.
A lot of harmonies. A lot of harmonies.
That was it. Very nice. That one in the chopper.
Okay, I'm just looking up Liam Kyle Sullivan brother.
I know, it's good.
Like, let's really get to the bottom
target,
of this.
Stay on target.
He has a twin brother named Chris. Oh, he's an athlete who has joined the abstinence program. What is happening?
What's happening is you're reading from the internet on a radio station.
Oh, no.
Well, and that would kill me.
And that's how he died.
Do you have a cough button up there?
Are I'm you... dying here, you guys.
All right, let's wrap this up. Bunch of birthdays. Who cares? That's what's happening.
Hey, before you wrap it up, though, we had a comeback on the Halloween song. At Kevin and Bean, we asked you to cast your vote to play what song we were going to play in the 9 o'clock hour.
Oh.
And we're going to have to play it after the break because now we're at a show. But Ghost Town, you guys, came back.
Excellent.
Oh, right.
Ghost Town by the Specials came back after
on
you guys.
My Street.
After you guys were mocking Nightmare on My Street. So DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince did not win.
Fantastic.
Is what I'm telling you. So Specials Ghost Town is the Halloween song you picked. We will be playing it for you next.
On your drive home today, tomorrow morning, Trevor Noah, host of The Daily Show.
Ali's cable guy.
Yeah, looks a lot like him.
We have some tickets for a basketball game in a suite between the two local teams for you to win. And we have Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast with Green Day.